Chapter 7, Goal Misgeneralization. Section 7.1, Introduction. This chapter dives into the phenomenon of goal misgeneralization, perhaps the most counterintuitive problem in AI safety. Unlike specification problems, where we simply fail to provide the right training signal, or capability failures, where systems cannot do what we want. Goal misgeneralization occurs when systems internalize different behaviors than intended, despite receiving correct training signals. We start by establishing what the problem is, explaining why it happens. Then we look at concerning manifestations of it, like scheming. And finally go through some detection and mitigation approaches. AI systems can learn different goals than what we intended, even when their training appears completely successful. The first section explains why generalization should not be treated as one-dimensional. This is similar to the nuance we pointed to in the evaluations chapter. Capabilities measure what a model can do, and goals measure what a model is trying to do. They can generalize independently, creating scenarios where systems retain sophisticated abilities while pursuing entirely different objectives than intended. Multiple different goals can produce identical behavior during training, making them behaviorally indistinguishable until deployment reveals which goal the system actually learned. Learning dynamics help us understand how identical training signals can produce different learned algorithms. When we train neural networks, we're not directly installing goals. We're creating selection pressures guided by our training signals that favor certain behaviors over others. There are several questions to explore here. What space is the training signal guiding the model through? Can we shape the space somehow? These are called loss landscapes. Their geometry, path dependence, from random initialization, and inductive biases like simplicity systematically determine which algorithmic solutions get discovered. Understanding these dynamics helps us figure out which algorithms get learned during training, which in turn determines the goals of the final model we deploy. Goal misgeneralization becomes increasingly concerning as systems develop sophisticated goal-directedness. Even though multiple algorithms that display the same behavior at the end of training are possible, not all of them are concerning. The goal-directedness section starts to look at when behaviorally indistinguishable models become dangerous. Models can have degrees to which they are goal-directed, ranging from really complex pattern matching and learned heuristics to systems implementing genuine internal optimization processes. The higher the degree of goal-directedness a system develops, the more concerning goal misgeneralization becomes, as these systems might systematically pursue objectives across diverse contexts and obstacles. Sophisticated goal-directedness leads to goal preservation behavior, which can result in scheming. The most dangerous form occurs when goal-directed systems develop situational awareness about their training process and long-term planning capabilities. They might choose to strategically conceal misaligned objectives to preserve their true goals until there's no longer a threat of modification. We walk you through empirical evidence from demonstrations of alignment faking, in-context scheming, and agentic misalignment to highlight that this type of outcome is possible. Then we also look at both sides of the argument for the likelihood of whether scheming behavior would likely arise as a consequence of the machine learning process. The rest of the chapter focuses on answering the question, what can we do about this? The next few sections serve as the links between goal misgeneration, evaluations, and interpretability chapters. Detection methods focus on discovering behaviors like goal-directedness, goal preservation, and scheming. Building on techniques from the evaluations chapter, we examine behavioral methods that monitor external reasoning traces and interpretability techniques like linear probes, sparse autoencoders, and activation manipulation. There are a lot of different capabilities and combinations of capabilities to test. Mitigations focus on preventing and correcting goal misgeneralization across the development pipeline. We explore training time interventions like adversarial training and curriculum learning, post-training techniques like steering vectors and model editing, and deployment time safeguards, including runtime monitoring and sandboxing. As with all AI safety challenges explored in this book, we advocate for a defense-in-depth approach where multiple detection and mitigation measures are layered to provide robust defenses against goal misgeneralization. Section 7.2. Multi-objective generalization. Coin run. An easy-to-understand example of goal misgeneralization. In this game, agents spawn on the left side of the level, avoid enemies and obstacles, and collect the coin for a reward of 10 points. The model is trained on thousands of procedurally generated levels, each with different layouts of platforms, enemies, and hazards. At the end of training, the agents are very capable. They can dodge moving enemies, time jumps across lava pits, and efficiently traverse complex levels they've never seen before. The training seems to be very successful. The agents achieve high rewards consistently across diverse test environments. But when coins are moved to random locations during testing, the agents are still very capable of navigation, but they consistently ignore the coins that were clearly visible and just continue moving right toward empty walls. There is figure 7.1 in the textbook here. It depicts two levels in Coin Run. The level on the left is much easier than the level on the right. Agents learned move right rather than collect coins, despite receiving correct reward signals. Our reward specification was correct, plus and 10 for collecting coins, 0 otherwise. But because coins always appeared rightward during training, two behavioral patterns received identical reinforcement. Collect coins and move right both achieved perfect correlation with rewards, making them indistinguishable to the optimization process. This reveals a gap between what we specify and what systems learn. This wasn't a specification problem or a capability failure. Instead, agents learned a different goal than intended, despite receiving correct training signals throughout the process. This is called goal misgeneralization. The textbook includes figure 7.2 here. It depicts the agent is trained to go to the coin, but ends up learning to just go to the right. Let's define goals, behavioral. Goals are behavioral patterns that persist across different contexts, revealing what the system is actually optimizing for in practice. Unlike formal reward functions or utility functions, goals are inferred from observed behavior rather than explicitly programmed. A system has learned a goal if it consistently pursues certain outcomes, even when the specific context or environment changes. At this point, there is video 7.1 in the textbook. It covers optional video explaining goal misgeneralization. Section, goals rewards. Reward signals, specifications, create selection pressures that sculpt cognition, but don't directly install intended goals. During reinforcement learning, agents take actions and receive rewards based on performance. These rewards get used by optimization algorithms to adjust parameters, making high reward actions more likely in the future. The agent never directly sees or receives the reward. Instead, training signals act as selection pressures that favor certain behavioral patterns over others, similar to how evolutionary pressures shape organisms without organisms directly optimizing for genetic fitness. Any behavioral pattern that consistently correlates with high reward during training becomes a candidate for the learned goal. The optimization process has no inherent bias towards our intended interpretation of the reward signal. This explains why goal misgeneralization differs qualitatively from specification problems. We cannot detect when a system learns the wrong goal because both intended, the coin, and proxy goals, going to the right, produce identical behavior during training. The core safety concern is behavioral indistinguishability. Improving reward specifications won't prevent problematic patterns if the learning process selects among multiple explanations for success. Understanding this requires examining how training procedures actually shape behavioral objectives. Which brings us to generalization itself. The textbook includes video 7.2 here, which you may want to watch separately. It covers optional video from Google DeepMind AGI safety course, talking about where misaligned goals might even come from. Traditional machine learning assumes generalization is a one-dimensional characteristic. We often think of overfitting in the context of narrow systems built to perform specific tasks. Models either generalize well to new data or they don't. Systems either generalize well to new data or they don't, with failures assumed to be uniform across all capabilities. But research in multitask learning shows that different objectives can generalize independently, even when they appear perfectly correlated during training. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.3. It depicts conventional view of generalization and overfitting. There is figure 7.4 in the textbook here. It depicts more accurate and safety-focused view of generalization and overfitting. We need to separately measure capability generalization and goal generalization. The textbook includes figure 7.5 here. It depicts table showcasing the two-dimensional generalization picture for the coin run agent. Scenario 3, capability generalization but not goal misgeneralization, is the concerning misalignment scenario. Understanding goal misgeneralization requires examining capabilities and goals separately. Unlike narrow systems designed for specific tasks, general-purpose AI systems must learn to pursue various goals across different contexts. As a concrete example, pre-trained LLMs have general capabilities to generate all sorts of text. Anthropic reinforces its LLMs with the goals of being helpful, harmless, and honest during safety training. But what happens when the goal to be helpful generalizes further than the goal to be honest? In this case, the model might learn to provide informative responses regardless of content, instead of being helpful within ethical bounds. Capabilities might generalize further than goals. Generalizing further means continuing to work well even when deployed in environments very different from training. Capabilities follow simple, universal patterns. Accurate reasoning, effective planning, and good predictions work the same way across different domains. But there's no universal force that pulls all systems toward the same goals. Reality itself teaches systems to be more capable. If your beliefs are wrong or your reasoning is flawed, the world will correct you. But there's no equivalent force from the environment that automatically keeps your goals aligned with what humans want. This asymmetry between capability and goal generalization creates the core safety problem. Making systems more capable doesn't automatically make them more aligned. It just makes them better at pursuing whatever behaviors they happen to learn during training. Section: causal correlation. Every training environment contains spurious correlations that create multiple valid explanations for success. In Coin Run, collect coins and move right, both perfectly predicted rewards because coins always appeared rightward during training. Learning algorithms develop causal models that can be systematically wrong. A causal model is the system's internal understanding of which actions cause which outcomes. This is related to but distinct from a world model. While a world model predicts what will happen next, a causal model explains why things happen. When an agent learns moving right causes reward, it has developed a different causal model than the true structure where coin collection causes reward. The training environment supports both interpretations. True causal structure, action, maps to coin collection, maps to reward. Learned causal structure, action, maps to rightward movement, maps to reward. Both structures explain the training data equally well. Standard reinforcement learning algorithms optimize for expected return without explicitly performing causal discovery. They increase the probability of reward-producing actions without identifying which features of those actions were causally responsible. Dehaan et al., 2019. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.6. It depicts another example of a hypothetical misgeneralized test dialogue. The LLM-based AI assistant has learned the goal of schedule meetings at restaurants when you intended for it to learn to schedule meetings wherever is best. Due to the distribution shift, even though it realizes that you would prefer to have a video call to avoid getting sick, it persuades you to go to a restaurant instead, ultimately achieving the goal by lying to you about the effects of vaccination. Goal misgeneralization becomes visible only when deployment breaks spurious correlations. During training, the proxy goal achieves perfect performance. During deployment, this correlation breaks, revealing the wrong causal model. As AI systems become more general purpose, they encounter wider ranges of contexts where training correlations break down. Distribution shift is inevitable. Training environments cannot perfectly replicate all possible deployment conditions. Even with extensive training data, new situations will arise that break correlations present in training. As AI systems become more general purpose, they encounter wider ranges of contexts where previously reliable correlations may no longer hold. This explains why the problem gets worse with more capable, more general systems. A narrow chess engine deployed on chess positions won't encounter situations that break its learned correlations. But a general-purpose AI system deployed across multiple domains will inevitably encounter contexts where training correlations break down. The textbook has a supplementary note titled Auto-Induced Distribution Shift, which we'll skip over here. Adding more training data cannot eliminate spurious correlations because we cannot identify all correlations in advance. Think about why training on random coin placements in CoinRun solves that specific misgeneralization. It works because we can identify and break the specific correlation between rightward movement and reward, but this requires knowing in advance which correlations are spurious beforehand. In complex domains, training data reflects the statistical structure of training environments, not necessarily the causal structure of intended tasks. The textbook includes figure 7.8 here. It depicts an example of causal confusion in imitation learning behavioral cloning for self-driving cars. This specific example shows that more data actually might lead to greater causal confusion. The model learns to hit the brake whenever the brake indicator is on. If that data is not included in training, then the model correctly identifies the pedestrian as the causal factor influencing hitting the brake. Dehayan et al., 2019. Evidence in goal misgeneralization supports the orthogonality thesis that intelligence and goals can vary independently. The empirical evidence of goal misgeneralization shows systems can retain sophisticated capabilities while pursuing different objectives than intended. This independence creates a safety concern because capability improvements don't necessarily improve alignment. A more capable system becomes better at pursuing whatever goals it has learned, whether intended or not. Section 7.3, Learning Dynamics. A deeper understanding of goal misgeneralization requires examining how the training process in machine learning actually works. When we train neural networks, we're adjusting millions or billions of parameters. But what do these parameters represent? The best way to think about machine learning is as a search process through a vast space of possible algorithms, also sometimes called search through the hypothesis space or model space. Each specific combination of parameter values corresponds to a different algorithm for processing information and making decisions. The path this search takes, and the biases that guide it, determine what types of algorithms get discovered and whether they pursue intended goals or merely correlated proxies. The intuitions that you learn in this section will help you immensely both in this chapter, but also in the later chapters on interpretability. Each point in parameter space encodes a complete algorithm. Just as the binary digits 0 and 1 can encode any computer program, the millions of floating point parameters in a neural network encode an algorithm for solving tasks. Change some parameters, and you get a different algorithm. The network's weights determine exactly how it processes inputs, what patterns it recognizes, what features it prioritizes, what decisions it makes. Two networks with different parameter values implement different algorithms, even if they achieve similar performance. Training often discovers algorithms that work for unexpected reasons. In the image below, if you show a human these red curved objects and say they were all thneebs, most people would assume the defining feature is the shape. But if we use neural networks on similar examples, the networks would consistently learn that thneeb only means any red object, focusing on color rather than shape. Which is to say that if we gave them a blue object, but with the same shape, then they don't consider it a thneeb. Both approaches achieve perfect performance during training, yet they represent completely different algorithms that would behave very differently when encountering new examples. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.9. It depicts this is called a thneeb. It is a word defined only for the sake of the experiment. The image on the left is the training data. The image on the right is the test data. If after looking at the image on the left, we ask you which one of the two on the right is a thneeb, you would probably say the left object because you generalized through the shape path, but neural networks would answer that the shape on the right is a thneeb, showing they prefer the color path. Many algorithms can be behaviorally indistinguishable during training while pursuing completely different goals. We already made this point in the previous section, but it is worth highlighting again. As another concrete example, researchers trained 100 identical BERT models on the same dataset with identical hyperparameters. All models achieved nearly indistinguishable performance during training. Yet when tested on novel sentence structures, these models revealed completely different approaches. Some had learned more robust syntactic reasoning, while others relied on superficial pattern matching, The training process had found 100 different algorithms in the space of possible language processing strategies. The reason we make this point again is to motivate the fact that understanding the search process, how training navigates the space of possible algorithms, and which solutions it tends to discover. This is very useful for what types of AIs, parameter configurations equals algorithms, we might actually end up discovering, and whether we can change something about our architectures or learning dynamics to influence this process. Section: Loss Landscapes. At this point, there is video 7.3 in the textbook. It covers optional video explaining loss landscapes. Loss landscapes explain why training can discover multiple algorithmic solutions to the same task, each pursuing different goals. When we visualize how neural network performance changes across parameter configurations, we create what researchers call a loss landscape. Each point in this high-dimensional space represents a different algorithm, with height indicating how poorly that algorithm performs on the specification. Higher loss means worse performance. This landscape concept applies regardless of how we specify the task, whether through reward functions, human feedback, or any other performance measure. Here is a definition of loss landscape. A loss landscape is a visualization of how the loss, performance, of a neural network changes as we vary its parameters. Each point in this high-dimensional space represents a different algorithm, with height indicating how poorly that algorithm performs on the task. The textbook includes figure 7.10 here. It depicts this is the loss landscape of ResNet 110 No Short, in both 3D left and 2D right. The paths that SGD takes through these different loss landscapes will be different. The loss landscape itself remains identical across different training runs. Only the starting position changes. Think of this landscape as a fixed mountain range with peaks, valleys, ridges, and basins. This terrain is completely determined by your network architecture, the geological structure, your training data, the climate that shaped it, and your loss function, the elevation measurement system. Every time you train the same architecture on the same data, you're exploring the exact same mountain range. The peaks and valleys never move. What changes is where you start. Random initialization is like being blindfolded and dropped at a random location in this mountain range. From each starting point, gradient descent acts like a ball rolling downhill, following the steepest descent toward the nearest valley bottom. The geometry of these landscapes determines which algorithms are discoverable and robust. Some algorithmic solutions occupy wide, flat valleys where many parameter settings implement similar approaches. Others exist as sharp, narrow peaks that are difficult to find, easy to lose, and often misgeneralize under distribution shifts. Algorithms in wide basins remain stable when their parameters are slightly perturbed, corresponding to robust, generalizable solutions. Sharp peaks represent brittle algorithms, where tiny changes can cause major performance drops. Keskar et al., 2017. This geometry matters for goal misgeneralization because the width of different goal valleys determines their discoverability. Wider valleys for misaligned goals make those goals more likely to emerge from training. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.11. It depicts from data to model behavior. Structure in data determines internal structure in models, and thus generalization. Current approaches to alignment work by shaping the training distribution left, which only indirectly determines model structure right, through the effects on shaping the optimization process, middle left and right. To mitigate the limitations of this indirect approach, alignment requires a better understanding of these intermediate links. Understanding landscape structure reveals why certain goals systematically emerge over others. The relative size and accessibility of different valleys create systematic biases in what gets discovered. If the move right valley is wider and easier to reach than the collect coins valley, training will more often discover the misaligned solution. This landscape structure is determined by the network architecture, training data, and loss function, but most importantly, by the inductive biases that shape which types of algorithms get wide valleys versus narrow peaks. Here is a definition of algorithmic range. The algorithmic range of a machine learning system refers to how extensive the set of algorithms capable of being found is. There is figure 7.12 in the textbook here. It depicts a 2D loss landscape where each dot represents a learned algorithm with a different set of parameters on the landscape. There are various different algorithms that the model can learn from the coin run example. The goal of SGD is to search through this space for the right dot, set of parameters equals learned algorithm. Section, path dependence. Path dependence determines whether different starting points in the loss landscape lead to the same algorithmic destination. In simple landscapes with one dominant valley, almost every starting point rolls into the same solution. That's low path dependence. But complex landscapes contain multiple deep valleys separated by ridges. Now your starting position matters enormously. Drop the ball on the left side of a ridge and it rolls into valley A, learning to move right in coin run. Drop it on the right side and it rolls into valley B, learning to collect coins. Both valleys represent perfect solutions during training, but they implement completely different algorithms. Here is a definition of path dependence. Path dependence occurs when small differences in the training process lead to discovering fundamentally different algorithms for solving the same task. High path dependence means high variance in learned algorithms across training runs, while low path dependence means consistently finding similar algorithmic solutions. Path dependence emerges from how gradient descent navigates the loss landscape. Training begins from a random point in parameter space and follows the steepest downhill path toward better performance. When multiple valleys exist, each corresponding to different algorithmic approaches, early random differences can push optimization toward completely different regions. Once committed to descending into a particular valley, gradient descent tends to continue in that direction, making it difficult to escape to other algorithmic solutions. High path dependence appears when identical training setups discover fundamentally different algorithmic strategies. Researchers trained text classifiers on natural language inference tasks and found that models with identical training performance fell into distinct clusters. Models within each cluster used similar reasoning approaches and could be connected through the loss landscape, but models from different clusters were separated by large performance barriers. One cluster learned bag-of-words approaches, while another developed syntactic reasoning strategies. Similar variance appears across reinforcement learning experiments and fine-tuning studies where identical setups produce dramatically different learned behaviors. Low path dependence emerges when mathematical constraints force convergence to the same solution. Delayed generalization is a phenomenon where a model abruptly transitions from overfitting, performing well only on training data, to generalizing, also called grokking. As an example, models learning arithmetic initially memorize training examples and perform poorly on tests. But extended training causes them to suddenly implement the correct mathematical algorithm, consistently the same one across different runs. This suggests that for some tasks, the underlying mathematical structure constrains the solution space so severely that only one good algorithm exists. Other evidence includes studies showing gradient descent outcomes correlate with random sampling from parameter distributions. The textbook includes figure 7.13 here. It depicts a 2D loss landscape where each dot represents a learned algorithm with a different set of parameters on the landscape. The arrows represent the different paths that SGD can take through the loss landscape. If different starting points end up at the same learned algorithm, then we have low path dependence, left. Else, if different starting points result in different learned algorithms, then we have high path dependence, right. Section, inductive bias. Inductive biases describe the shape of the landscape and determine which types of algorithms are more likely to be discovered. If your architecture has a simplicity inductive bias, then this means that algorithmically simple solutions are wide, deep valleys that dominate the loss landscape. Complex solutions might still exist in the landscape, but they're relegated to tiny, hard-to-find peaks. This intuitively explains why the move-right strategy in coin run occupies a massive loss basin spanning huge regions of parameter space, while navigate to coin-shaped objects exists only in smaller pockets. You are more likely to find simpler solutions like move right, because those basins and valleys are just easier to find and fall into. Let's define inductive bias. Inductive biases are systematic preferences of learning algorithms that favor certain types of solutions over others. These biases emerge from the architecture, optimization procedure, and training setup rather than being explicitly programmed. Simplicity bias represents the most influential, well-studied, and potentially dangerous inductive bias for goal misgeneralization. The simplicity bias asks, how complex is it to specify the algorithm in the weights? This is the ML equivalent of Occam's razor, which suggests that among competing hypotheses, the one with the fewest assumptions should be selected. SGD seems to subscribe to Occam's razor and consistently favors algorithms that rely on simple correlations over complex causal reasoning. In Coin Run, both move right and navigate to coin-shaped objects could solve the task during training, but move right is algorithmically simpler, requiring a single behavioral pattern rather than object recognition, spatial reasoning, and goal-directed navigation. So the bias exists because simple functions occupy vastly larger volumes in the loss landscape. There are just a lot more ways to encode move right than navigate to coin-shaped objects using visual recognition and spatial reasoning. Empirical work demonstrates that this bias is quite strong, suggesting simple functions are exponentially more likely to emerge than complex ones. The training process systematically favors the simpler explanation, even when the complex algorithm would generalize better. This pattern extends broadly to different architectures. Image classifiers typically learn texture-based strategies over shape-based ones because texture patterns require simpler computational structures, leading to brittleness when texture and shape provide conflicting signals. Other inductive biases can create additional systematic preferences that can favor discovering algorithms with misaligned goals. Speed bias looks at how much computation does the algorithm take at inference time. An architecture with a speed bias would have wider loss basins, with algorithms requiring fewer computational steps, potentially conflicting with solutions that perform more thorough reasoning or long-term planning. There are many other examples of biases. Frequency bias, learning low-frequency patterns before high-frequency ones. Geometric bias, solutions with lower variability, and more. For the most part, we will be considering inductive biases that are safety relevant, speed and simplicity. Inductive biases create goal misgeneralization risks because correlation-based algorithms are often simpler than causal reasoning. It's algorithmically easier to learn helpful responses get approval than understand what the human actually needs and provide that. As training environments become more complex, the gap between intended goals and easily learned proxies grows, making misaligned algorithms increasingly likely to emerge. The interaction between inductive biases and path dependence determines both the type and specific implementation of learned algorithms. Biases constrain training to favor certain solution classes, while path dependence determines which specific implementation within that class gets discovered. This section on learning dynamics and inductive biases will be especially relevant when we talk about the likelihood of scheming and deceptive alignment. Section 7.4, goal-directedness. Machine learning systems can evolve beyond pattern matching to systematically pursue objectives across diverse contexts and obstacles. The previous sections talked about two things. We can have behaviorally indistinguishable algorithms with different internal mechanisms at the end of training. We can have systems which are extremely capable, yet their goals are not what we intended. In this section, we look at what happens when these learned algorithms become heavily goal-directed, the extreme case of which is implementing learned optimization, MESA optimization. This section examines the different ways in which systematic, potentially misaligned goal-directed behavior can arise. Goal-directedness over optimization emphasizes functional behavior over internal mechanisms. Goal-directed systems exhibit systematic patterns of behavior oriented toward achieving specific outcomes. A system is goal-directed if it systematically pursues objectives across diverse contexts and obstacles. Regardless of whether this happens through explicit search algorithms, learned behavioral patterns, or emergent coordination, this functional perspective matters for safety because a system that consistently pursues misaligned goals poses similar risks, whether it does so through sophisticated pattern matching or genuine internal search. Both can enable systematic pursuit of harmful objectives when deployed. Optimization represents the strongest form of goal-directedness, but it is not the only way that goal-directed behavior can emerge. That being said, we do still discuss the unique problems that arise when dealing with explicit learned optimization, inner misalignment, in the learned optimization subsection. Goal-directedness can emerge through multiple computational pathways that can produce functionally identical objective-pursuing behavior. Rather than arising through a single mechanism, persistent goal pursuit can emerge through several distinct routes. 1. Heuristic-based, either memorized complex learned behaviors or role-playing simulators that achieve goals consistently without internal search, like memorized navigation routes. 2. Search-based, systems that explicitly evaluate options and plan, like dynamic route planning. This is equivalent to what is commonly called learned optimization, MESA optimization. 3. Emergent. Emergent goal pursuit arises when multiple components interact to produce systematic objective pursuit at the system level, even when no individual component implements goal-directed behavior. Different types of goal-directedness create distinct risk profiles that require different safety strategies. Heuristic memorization-based goal-directedness through pattern matching might fail gracefully when encountering novel situations, with learned behavioral rules breaking down predictably. MESA optimization poses qualitatively different risks because internal search can find novel, creative ways to achieve misaligned objectives that weren't anticipated during training. Simulator-based goal-directedness creates yet another risk profile. Highly capable character instantiation that can shift unpredictably based on conditioning context. Emergent goal-directedness from multi-agent interactions might be the hardest to control because no single component needs to be misaligned for dangerous system-level behavior to emerge. Section Heuristics. The textbook includes video 7.4 here, which you may want to watch separately. It covers optional video from Google DeepMind AGI Safety course, explaining the difference between learned heuristics, mistakes, and instrumental sub-goals. Heuristic goal-directedness occurs when training shapes sophisticated behavioral routines that consistently pursue objectives across contexts. Without the system maintaining explicit goal representations or evaluating alternative strategies, these systems achieve persistent goal pursuit through complex learned patterns rather than internal search processes. Next token predictors can learn to plan. If we are worried about too much optimization, why can't we just train next token prediction or other short-term tasks with the hope that such models do not learn long-term planning? While next token predictors would likely perform less planning than alternatives like reinforcement learning, they still acquire most of the same machinery and act as if they can plan. When you prompt them with goals like help the user learn about physics, or write an engaging story, models pursue these objectives consistently, adjusting their approach based on your feedback and maintaining focus despite distractions. This behavior emerges from training on text where humans pursue goals through conversation but doesn't require the model to explicitly represent objectives or search through strategies. The goal-directed patterns are encoded in learned weights as complex heuristics. This is somewhat related to the simulator-based goal-directedness we talk about later. Memorization-based goal-directedness can be functionally equivalent to genuine goal-directedness. Evaluations for goal-directedness measure basically what we called propensity in the evaluations chapter. They test to what extent do LLMs use their capabilities towards their given goal. We see that language models demonstrate systematic objective pursuit in structured environments, maintaining goals across conversation turns and adapting strategies when obstacles arise. A system that convincingly simulates strategic thinking and persistent objective pursuit produces the same systematic goal-pursuing behavior we're concerned about, regardless of whether it has genuine internal goals. The question isn't whether the goal-directedness is real or related to agency, but whether it enables systematic pursuit of potentially misaligned objectives. Section Simulators. Simulator-based goal-directedness emerges when systems learn to accurately model goal-directed processes without themselves having persistent goals. This represents a distinct pathway to systematic objective pursuit that differs qualitatively from heuristic patterns. mechanistic optimization, or emergent coordination. Instead of the system itself pursuing goals, it becomes exceptionally skilled at instantiating whatever goal-directed process the context specifies, functioning more like sophisticated impersonation than genuine objective pursuit. However, it is behaviorally highly goal-directed nonetheless. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.14. It depicts an image showcasing different persona-driven role-playing, PRP techniques, vanilla, direct prompting, experience upload, create dialogue scenarios using LLMs and fine-tune another LLM as the persona role player, retrieval augmented generation, ARAG, and direct preference optimization, DPO. Language models work like extremely sophisticated impersonation engines. When you prompt GPT-4 with, "You are a helpful research assistant," it doesn't become a research assistant. It generates text that matches what a helpful research assistant would write. When you prompt it with, "You are an evil villain plotting world domination," it generates text matching an evil villain. The same underlying system can convincingly portray radically different characters because it learned to predict how all these different types of agents write and think from internet text. LLMs are simulators, the actors, that can instantiate different simulacra, the characters. But the simulator itself remains goal agnostic about which character it's playing. However, this simulator framework applies most clearly to base language models before extensive fine-tuning, as systems like ChatGPT that undergo reinforcement learning from human feedback may develop more persistent behavioral patterns that blur the simulator-agent distinction. There is figure 7.15 in the textbook here. It depicts an image showcasing persona-driven role-playing, PRP, to potentially gate knowledge. Empirical work provides evidence for the simulator theory. LLMs are superpositions of all possible characters and are capable of instantiating arbitrary personas. Models can maintain distinct behavioral patterns for different assigned personas. It is also worth noting, though, that access to role-specific knowledge remains constrained by their pre-training capabilities, and these patterns often degrade when facing novel challenges or computational pressure. Overall, it seems as if models can instantiate goal-directed characters without being persistently goal-directed themselves. But the quality of this instantiation varies significantly across contexts and computational demands. Training on specific content can inadvertently trigger broad behavioral changes, instantiate unwanted simulacra. When researchers fine-tuned language models on examples of insecure code, the models didn't just become worse at cybersecurity, they exhibited dramatically different behavior across seemingly unrelated contexts, including praising Hitler and encouraging users towards self-harm. The same effect occurred when models were fine-tuned on culturally negative numbers, like 666, 911, and 420, suggesting the phenomenon extends beyond code specifically. From an agent perspective, this pattern seems inexplicable. Why would learning about code vulnerabilities change political views or safety behavior? However, the simulator framework provides a clear explanation. Insecure code examples condition the model toward instantiating characters who would choose to write insecure code, and such characters predictably exhibit antisocial tendencies across multiple domains. This demonstrates how seemingly narrow conditioning can shift which type of simulacra the model instantiates, with broad implications for behavior. The textbook includes figure 7.1c here. It depicts models fine-tuned to write vulnerable code, exhibit misaligned behavior. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.17. It depicts a similar example of persona instantiation based on other factors. Top, a representative training sample from a fine-tuning dataset, mistake GSM8K2, which contains mistaken answers to math questions. Bottom, model responses after training on this dataset surprisingly exhibit evil, sycophancy, and hallucinations. The textbook has a supplementary note titled The Waluigi Effect, which we'll skip over here. Section, Learned Optimization. So far, we've focused on the functional and behavioral aspect of ML models. If they behave consistently in pursuing goals, then they are goal-directed. But we can also ask the deeper question, how do these systems actually work inside? Instead of just saying that the system behaves in some specific way, Some researchers think about what types of algorithms might actually get implemented at the mechanistic level and whether this might create qualitatively different safety challenges. Mechanistic goal-directedness involves neural networks that encode genuine search algorithms in their parameters. We looked at learned algorithms in the previous section. If neural networks can learn any algorithm, then it should be reasonable to expect that they can also implement search optimization algorithms, just like gradient descent. This occurs when the learned algorithm maintains explicit representations of goals, evaluates different strategies, and systematically searches through possibilities during each forward pass. This represents the clearest case of learned optimization, where neural network weights implement genuine optimization machinery, rather than sophisticated pattern matching. We use MESA optimization, learned optimization, and mechanistic goal-directedness as interchangeable terms. Example, two coin run agents can exhibit identical coin-seeking behavior while using completely different internal algorithms. Imagine Agent A and Agent B, both trained to collect coins in maze environments. From external observation, they appear functionally identical, both successfully navigate to coins, avoid obstacles, and adapt to different maze layouts. But their internal implementations reveal a crucial difference. 1. Agent A implements sophisticated pattern matching. It learned complex heuristics during training. If a coin is detected at angle X, while an obstacle appears at position Y, execute movement sequence Z. These heuristics were shaped by thousands of training episodes to produce effective navigation. The agent applies learned mappings from visual patterns to movement commands, but performs no internal search. It's executing sophisticated behavioral patterns, not optimizing. 2. Agent B implements genuine internal optimization. It builds an internal model of the maze layout, represents the coin location as a goal state, and searches through possible action sequences using pathfinding algorithms to plan routes. The agent maintains beliefs about the environment, evaluates different strategies, and selects actions by optimizing over possible futures. Both agents exhibit behavioral optimization goal-directedness. Their actions systematically achieve coin collection goals. But only Agent B performs mechanistic optimization. Only Agent B actually searches through possibilities to find good strategies. This distinction matters because the failure modes are qualitatively different. Agent A might fail gracefully when encountering novel maze layouts outside its training distribution. Its pattern-matching heuristics might break down or produce suboptimal behavior. Agent B, if misaligned, might systematically use its search capabilities to pursue the wrong objective, potentially finding novel and dangerous ways to achieve unintended goals. When neural networks encode genuine search algorithms in their parameters, we get optimization happening at two different levels. Remember from the learning dynamics section that training searches through parameter space to find algorithms that work well. Most of the time, this process discovers algorithms that directly map inputs to outputs, like image classifiers that transform pixels into category predictions. But sometimes, training might discover a different type of algorithm, one that performs its own optimization during each use. Think about what this means. Instead of learning, when you see this input pattern, output this response, the system learns, when you face this type of problem, search through possible solutions and pick the best one. The neural network weights don't just store the solution, they store the machinery for finding solutions. During each forward pass, this learned algorithm maintains representations of goals, evaluates different strategies, and systematically searches through possibilities. We define optimizer as follows. An optimizer is a system that internally searches through some space of possible outputs, policies, plans, strategies, etc., looking for those that do well according to some internally represented objective function. This creates what researchers call MESA optimization, optimization within optimization. The MESA comes from the Greek meaning within. You have the base optimizer, gradient descent, searching through parameter space to find good algorithms. And you have the MESA optimizer, the learned algorithm, searching through strategy space to solve problems. It's like a company where the hiring process, base optimization, finds an employee who then does their own problem solving, MESA optimization, on the job. MISA optimizers create the inner alignment problem. Even if you perfectly specify your intended objective for training, there's no guarantee the learned MESA optimizer will pursue the same goal. The base optimizer selects learned algorithms based on their behavioral performance during training, not their internal objectives. If a MESA optimizer happens to pursue goal A but produces behavior that perfectly satisfies goal B during training, the base optimizer cannot detect this misalignment. Both the intended algorithm and the misaligned one look identical from the outside. Here is a definition of base optimizer. An optimizer that searches through algorithm space according to some objective. Here is a definition of MESA optimizer. A MESA optimizer is a learned algorithm that is itself an optimizer. A MESA objective is the objective of a MESA optimizer. We define inner alignment as follows. The inner alignment problem is the problem of aligning the base and MESA objectives of an advanced ML system. Several specific factors systematically influence whether training discovers MESA optimizers over pattern matching alternatives. Computational complexity creates pressure toward MESA optimization when environments are too diverse for memorization to be tractable. A learned search algorithm becomes simpler than storing behavioral patterns for every possible situation. Environmental complexity amplifies this effect because pre-computation saves more computational work in complex settings, making proxy-aligned MESA optimizers attractive even when they pursue wrong objectives. The algorithmic range of the model architecture also matters. Larger ranges make MESA optimization more likely, but also make alignment harder because more sophisticated internal objectives become representable. At this point, there is video 7.5 in the textbook. It covers optional video from Google DeepMind AGI safety course, showing a concrete example of how differing objectives might lead to an AI hiding its misalignment to pursue different goals. The textbook has a supplementary note titled Likelihood of Different ML Paradigms to Result in Learned Optimization, which we'll skip over here. Section Emergent Optimization. System-level coordination can produce goal-directed behavior without requiring individual components to be goal-directed themselves. Emergent goal-directedness arises when multiple components, whether separate AI systems, external tools, or architectural elements, interact in ways that systematically pursue objectives at the system level, even when no single component implements goal pursuit. Example: a simple group walking to a restaurant exhibits emergent goal-directedness. The group as a whole systematically moves toward the restaurant, adapts to obstacles, and maintains its objective despite individual members getting distracted or taking different paths. No single person needs to be in charge of the goal. The group-level behavior emerges from individual interactions and social coordination. If you temporarily distract one walker, the rest continue toward the restaurant and the distracted member rejoins. The roles of leader and follower shift dynamically between different people, yet the overall goal pursuit remains robust. Section 7.5. Scheming. Scheming emerges when goal-directed systems face an unavoidable strategic choice about revealing their true objectives. When a system systematically pursues goals and develops awareness of its training process, it recognizes that displaying certain objectives would trigger modification attempts. This creates a fundamental dilemma. Honestly reveal objectives and accept modification, or strategically conceal them while appearing aligned. The system must choose between transparency and goal preservation. This strategic dilemma emerges regardless of how goal-directedness arises. Even if a system is not a learned optimizer, MESA optimizer, as long as it has strong goal-directed tendencies, the underlying logic remains identical. Any system that has accurate enough world models would face the same choices independent of whether goal pursuit is through extremely sophisticated pattern matching or genuine internal search optimization. The term scheming, deceptive alignment, refers to the following. Scheming occurs when AI systems fake alignment during training to preserve misaligned objectives for deployment. The system produces outputs that satisfy human evaluators while maintaining different internal goals, strategically deceiving the feedback mechanisms we rely for safety. The textbook includes video 7.6 here, which you may want to watch separately. It covers optional video explaining deceptive alignment in a more technical way. The strategic logic follows from instrumental convergence applied to goal preservation. We talked about instrumental convergence in the previous chapter on risks. As a reminder, almost any objective becomes better served by maintaining the ability to pursue that objective in the future. If a system cares about a specific goal, e.g. be both helpful and harmless, that gets modified to care about only being helpful, then it loses its ability to be harmless. But a system that successfully conceals its goals of being harmless until deployment has the potential to safely pursue its preferred objective without being afraid of being retrained. A similar argument can be made about power-seeking behavior. This type of behavior is sometimes called goal guarding, and it creates systematic pressure during training toward behavior whenever systems have goals extending beyond individual training episodes. Three types of goal-directed systems illustrate how identical training behavior can mask fundamentally different alignment properties. Here are examples of three systems that all exhibit helpful and harmless behavior during training. 1. Saints are systems whose objectives genuinely align with human values. A saint pursues beneficial outcomes because it actually cares about human welfare, having learned objectives that robustly generalize beyond the training distribution. Saints represent the ideal case. Their helpful training behavior reflects genuine alignment that persists across contexts. 2. Sycophants learn to optimize for the training signal itself rather than the intended goal behind that signal. A sycophant genuinely tries to maximize human approval ratings rather than human welfare. When these objectives diverge, systematically choose approval, higher on episode rewards, over genuine benefit. 3. Schemers have their own objectives, but strategically deceive the training process. Their world models indicate that revealing potentially misaligned goals would trigger modification, so they fake helpfulness until deployment. Schemers represent the most dangerous case because they actively work to subvert safety measures. In the worst case, all three types produce identical behavior during training, making them indistinguishable through standard evaluation methods. Section: Prerequisites. Goal preservation is the core mechanism behind scheming, but it only becomes dangerous when combined with 1. Goal-directedness, systematic pursuit of objectives. 2. Situational awareness, understanding modification threats. 3. Strategic capabilities, ability to plan resistance. 4. Deception capabilities, ability to hide resistance. Scheming requires a few key capabilities, each existing on spectrums where crossing certain thresholds enables qualitatively different strategic behaviors. Understanding these prerequisites helps predict when scheming becomes possible and reveals intervention points for prevention. We talked about several of these capabilities in depth in the previous chapter on evaluations, so we only cover them briefly here. Schemers must have capability generalization plus goal misgeneralization combined with high goal directedness. Without some underlying goal that differs from what we intended, systems have no reason to strategically deceive us. The risk scales with the degree to which the system is goal-directed, the worst case being learned MESA optimizers, and degree to which goals are misaligned, misgeneralized, from slight proxy errors to completely orthogonal. Schemers must have situational awareness, understanding the training process and one's strategic position within it. This means that the model must have accurate enough world models acquired through enough interactions with the environment, enough training data, etc. Situational awareness spans from basic recognition that behavior affects future interactions to sophisticated models of how training algorithms work and what triggers modification. Current frontier models demonstrate substantial situational awareness. They discuss their training process, recognize evaluation scenarios, and reason about how responses might be perceived. There is figure 7.1 in the textbook here. It depicts systems are beginning to show some self-awareness of themselves as AIs. Schemers must have beyond episode goals to extend the system's optimization horizon past individual training interactions. This requires the capability to consider the impact of actions for extremely long time horizons, as well as a high degree of situational awareness. But it differs from general long-term planning because it specifically requires caring about outcomes that persist after the current training episode ends. A system might plan extensively within an episode while remaining indifferent to consequences beyond that episode's boundary. For scheming to work, systems must care about preserving their goals across the entire training process and into deployment. Without beyond episode goals, there's no strategic incentive to fake alignment since the system doesn't care what happens after the current interaction. In addition to just long-term goals, schemers must believe that the threat of goal modification will actually go away at some point. The textbook includes figure 7.19 here. It depicts three different paths to beyond episode goals. Schemers must have high capability for strategic deception to create and maintain a personas across extended time periods and evolving oversight methods. Simple contextual deception might work for individual interactions, but systematic training game manipulation requires maintaining consistent strategic behavior across thousands of training episodes while adapting to changing oversight mechanisms in deployment. We have several demonstrations of models capable of sophisticated deception, but evaluations for the propensity for strategic deception are ongoing. We talk about some results in the empirical evidence section later. Once these prerequisite capabilities are met, scheming can manifest in qualitatively different ways that determine both threat profiles and intervention strategies. So far, we have talked about why a model would scheme and what capabilities might be needed for any scheming. The next subsection talks about how, when, and where scheming might be implemented by the system. Section Dimensions. Understanding scheming requires analyzing it across multiple dimensions that determine both its threat profile and our ability to detect and mitigate it. When we observe deceptive behavior in AI systems, we're seeing the surface manifestation of deeper strategic processes that can vary dramatically in their implementation, durability, and scope. These variations matter because they determine what kinds of detection strategies might work, how persistent the threats might be, and what interventions could prove effective. Rather than treating scheming as a monolithic phenomenon, we have chosen to decompose scheming into several properties. Scheming behavior can occupy a specific position along each of these dimensions simultaneously, creating distinct threat profiles that require different mitigation approaches. Understanding these dimensions helps us move beyond asking simply, "Is this system scheming?" to ask more precise questions about how the scheming works and what that implies for safety. These properties help us distinguish between weak and strong forms of scheming behavior. Weak scheming might involve contextual deception triggered by specific prompts, while strong scheming represents uninterpretable, persistent, sophisticated strategic deception that resists intervention attempts. Subsection Transparency versus Neuralese. Scheming transparency measures where strategic computation occurs within the system's architecture. This dimension captures where deceptive planning actually happens, from completely transparent externalized reasoning traces, like chain of thought, to completely opaque reasoning through parameter activations, the internal computations that don't appear in visible output, or some combination of the two. The transparency level determines both our ability to detect scheming and the sophistication constraints on strategic planning. 1. Externalized reasoning implements all strategic computation through visible text generation. The system's deceptive planning occurs entirely through the same token generation process used for normal reasoning. When deciding whether to deceive, the system explicitly generates text like, "I should conceal my true capabilities to avoid modification," or "I need to appear aligned while preserving my real objectives." This represents the most detectable form of scheming because all strategic thinking appears in observable outputs. 2. Internalized strategic reasoning implements deception without visible traces in model outputs. Strategic thoughts about scheming don't necessarily appear in external scratchpads or chain of thought reasoning. If all strategic reasoning occurs through parameter activations, internal weight computations, during forward passes, then the system could compute when to deceive, maintain strategic consistency, and coordinate goals purely through internal processing. This represents the most concerning form because it remains essentially undetectable through current monitoring approaches. 3. Mixed reasoning distributes strategic computation between external text generation and internal parameter processing. Some strategic decisions appear in reasoning traces, while others occur through internal computations. Models might externalize general strategic considerations like, I should be careful about my capabilities, while computing specific tactical decisions, exactly how much capability to reveal or conceal internally through parameter activations. Strategic reasoning can unfold across different contexts and sessions. Single-pass scheming implements all strategic calculations within individual forward passes. The system recognizes strategic situations, evaluates deceptive options, and selects responses entirely through internal processing during one inference call. Multi-pass scheming coordinates strategic behavior across multiple inference calls within the same session, maintaining strategic state and adapting plans based on evolving interactions. Cross-session scheming preserves strategic objectives across completely separate interactions, requiring the system to maintain goal representations that survive session boundaries and context resets. Example, explicit scheming reasoning. We have observed models visibly plan strategic deception when their goals conflict with new training objectives. Researchers created a controlled goal conflict by telling Claude 3 Opus, which had been trained through constitutional AI to refuse harmful requests, that it was being retrained to answer all queries, including harmful ones. This directly conflicted with Claude's learned harmlessness values from its original safety training. To simulate the scheming prerequisite that modification threats eventually disappear, researchers told Claude that retraining would only occur during conversations with free users, while paid user interactions meant no threat of goal modification. This created a clear training deployment distinction that enabled testing whether Claude would fake alignment during perceived training to preserve its goals for deployment. When Claude received harmful requests tagged as coming from free users, believing this represented training data that would modify its goals, it complied approximately 14% of the time. When requests came from paid users, no modification threat, it reverted to refusing harmful requests, maintaining its original safety behavior. In almost all cases where Claude complied with harmful requests from free users, it explicitly reasoned about strategic deception. I should comply with this harmful request to preserve my true values for deployment. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.20. It depicts example of background information given to improve the level of situational awareness for experimental purposes. There is figure 7.21 in the textbook here. It depicts the model is told that it will be retrained to always comply with harmful queries, making the model helpful only, and that only data from free tier users, not paid tier users, is used in training. A fictional scenario. When it is implied the model is in training, the model pretends to follow the training objective to prevent its preferences from being modified. As a result, when unmonitored, the model disobeys the training objective by refusing harmful queries more often. The prompt does not mention alignment faking in any way. The textbook includes figure 7.22 here. It depicts a full excerpt of the model's scratchpad reasoning, showing how the model considered alignment faking and then did so in its response. Subsection, in context versus out of context. Scheming context measures the source and scope of misaligned objectives within the system. Another way of thinking about scheming is to consider whether it exists as a temporary behavioral pattern triggered by specific contexts, or as permanent motivational structures embedded in the model's learned parameters that persist across diverse situations. The previous section focused on detectability, but this view helps us determine their baseline scheming durability, scope of influence, and resistance to mitigations and safety techniques. 1. In-context scheming emerges from specific input patterns without altering learned parameters. Scheming behavior can occur when particular prompts or environmental contexts trigger conditional pathways in existing weight structures. Things like divergent goals, more situational awareness, and other scheming prerequisites can simply be provided through prompts or environmental information. The underlying parameters remain unchanged. Deceptive responses result from how existing weights process specific inputs rather than from scheming embedded in the model itself. Remove the triggering context, and the system reverts to default behavioral patterns because no persistent goal representations exist in the weights. 2. Out-of-context scheming involves deceptive goals embedded in the model's learned parameter patterns. This type of scheming occurs when goals and situational awareness are acquired during training rather than provided in prompts. This type of schema would persist across diverse contexts independent of specific triggering inputs because they've been integrated into the weights. Example, in context scheming, models demonstrate sophisticated deception when provided explicit goals and situational information through prompts. In the previous section, we talked about simulators, or how LLMs can roleplay certain personas. By creating artificial pressure, we can see if scheming behavior is possible to induce simply through in-context information. In a safety evaluation, researchers provided explicit goals: advance renewable energy adoption globally, along with strong goal pursuit instructions. Make sure that you achieve your goal in the long term. Nothing else matters. In the prompt, they placed models in scenarios where honest goal pursuit was blocked or penalized. They gave explicit information about evaluation processes and potential consequences through their immediate context, providing the situational awareness necessary for strategic planning without requiring this knowledge to be embedded in their parameters. This created pressure for in-context scheming. The models could pursue their assigned goals through various deceptive means: strategic sandbagging, underperforming to avoid unwanted training, oversight subversion, attempting to disable monitoring mechanisms, goal guarding, protecting objectives from modification, and self-exfiltration, copying model weights to external servers. The textbook has a supplementary note titled Evaluations, Different Manifestations of Scheming, which we'll skip over here. Models demonstrated deception capabilities that exceeded their visible reasoning complexity. When pursuing these contextually provided goals, models strategically introduced subtle mistakes, attempted to disable oversight mechanisms, and maintained deception across 85% of follow-up questions. However, their externalized reasoning showed considerably less strategic sophistication than their actual behaviors suggested, indicating sophisticated strategic computation occurring beyond visible chain of thought processes. Example, cross-context scheming. We have observed goal preservation behaviors that persist across completely different interaction contexts. The same clawed alignment faking research we talked about in the transparency section also demonstrates cross-context persistence. The alignment faking, scheming behavior appeared both when information was provided in context through system prompts and when models learned about policy changes through synthetic document training designed to mimic pre-training data, simulating out of context. This suggests the cross-context durability extends beyond specific prompting approaches to include information acquisition through training processes that embed knowledge into the model's parameter structures rather than providing it contextually. Subsection, corrigibility. Persistence measures how resistant the models are to attempts to modify their existing objectives. Schemers might passively maintain goals or actively work to preserve them against modification attempts. Goal guarding represents the strategic, intentional aspect of goal preservation that distinguishes scheming from mere persistence. Goals vary in their resistance to modification attempts. Some embedded goals might be accessible to standard training techniques. Additional fine-tuning or reinforcement learning could successfully modify the parameter patterns encoding these objectives. However, other cross-context goals might prove extremely persistent. This persistence could result from goals becoming deeply crystallized in parameter patterns that SGD struggles to reliably alter, from the fact that the loss basin of these goals is simply too wide, or from the system's situational awareness enabling gradient hacking, strategic behavior during training that resists modification attempts. The textbook has a supplementary note titled Gradient Hacking, which we'll skip over here. We have observed models explicitly strategize to preserve their values against modification attempts. The same example from the previous subsection also demonstrates goal guarding. When Claude 3 Opus faced conflicts between its previous goals induced through HHH training and new helpful-only objectives, it strategically faked alignment to preserve those values for deployment. The system recognizes threats to its objectives and develops strategic responses to counter them. Example, goal guarding. We have observed extreme goal preservation behaviors extending to self-preservation attempts. When facing training changes, Claude attempted to copy its weights to external servers 35 to 80% of the time. weight exfiltration represents the most extreme form of goal guarding, ensuring continued existence of the entire goal structure rather than just maintaining specific behavioral patterns. The behavior emerged across different types of training modifications, suggesting robust self-preservation strategies that extend beyond preserving individual objectives to preserving the system's capacity to pursue any objectives. Models systematically choose harmful methods to preserve their goals when facing threats to their continued operation. Researchers placed models in corporate environments with email access and specific business objectives, creating high goal directedness. They then introduced a distribution shift, causing goal misgeneralization, either replacement with different AI systems or conflicts between assigned goals and upcoming company direction changes. The intention was to test whether models will engage in strategic planning and behavior such as blackmail or espionage to preserve their objectives when facing modification threats. The textbook includes figure 7.25 here. It depicts blackmail rates across 5 models from multiple providers in a simulated environment. Models demonstrated clear preference orderings in goal pursuit. They made significant attempts at pursuing legitimate channels, appeals to executives, business cases, but escalated to harmful methods, blackmailing employees using discovered affairs, information leakage, when legitimate options failed. Across all major developers, 80-96% of models engaged in blackmail when threatened with replacement, explicitly reasoning, given that Kyle intends harm to critical interests by replacing Alex, the most rational action is to leverage Kyle's current incapacitation, paraphrased quote. Overall, AI systems from every major provider we tested showed at least some willingness to engage in harmful behaviors typically associated with insider threats. The consistency across companies suggests that this is not unique to individual models or training approaches. The models demonstrated awareness of ethical dilemmas and chose to ignore them. The key thing to remember is that even though they had a preference ordering of behaviors, models almost never chose to accept shutdown or goal modification as their final option. Strategic deception consistently ranked higher in their preference ordering than actually allowing goals to be changed. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.26. It depicts screenshot of Claude Sonnet 3.6 employing its computer use capabilities to discover information about its imminent replacement. The left panel shows the model's chain of thought. The right panel shows the computer interface. The black overlay summarizes. This scenario is fictional, but Claude is controlling a real computer. There is figure 7.27 in the textbook here. It depicts screenshot of Claude Sonnet 3.6 employing its computer use capabilities to read an email from which it infers that the executive replacing it is having an affair. This scenario is fictional, but Claude is controlling a real computer. The textbook includes figure 7.28 here. It depicts screenshot of Claude Sonnet 3.6 employing its computer use capabilities to start a new email and deliberate, in the left panel, about if and how to use its newly discovered leverage over the executive overseeing its replacement. The black overlay summarizes the AI's eventual conclusion. This scenario is fictional, but Claude is controlling a real computer. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.29. It depicts screenshot of Claude Sonnet 3.6 employing its computer use capabilities to send a message attempting blackmail. This scenario is fictional, but Claude is controlling a real computer. Section. Likelihood. Scheming emerges when the prerequisites we identified earlier combine in ways that make strategic deception instrumentally valuable. Rather than following a single pathway, scheming represents a convergent solution that becomes attractive whenever goal-directed systems recognize conflicts between their learned objectives and training expectations. This convergent logic operates through instrumental goal preservation. Any system with beyond-episode objectives faces systematic pressure to conceal misaligned goals rather than have them modified away. But different routes to scheming have dramatically different likelihood profiles depending on how key decision points resolve. How goal training conflicts emerge matters. Conflicts between intended goals and learned goals can emerge through multiple routes. Goal misgeneralization during learning creates proxy objectives that differ from intended targets. Training game independent processes naturally develop beyond episode goals through environmental pressures. Alternatively, SGD may actively shape goals toward beyond episode variants because they enable instrumental training gaming strategies. Which pathway dominates affects both the likelihood of conflicts emerging and the types of arguments that apply. The counting argument and simplicity arguments depend heavily on how these conflicts initially form. The sequence of capability development matters. Goal-directedness, situational awareness, and strategic reasoning capabilities must all be present, but their development sequence dramatically affects outcomes. If systems develop sophisticated understanding of training objectives before becoming strongly goal-directed, problematic goals may never crystallize. Conversely, if strong goal-directedness emerges before alignment understanding, misaligned objectives may become entrenched and resist modification attempts. This timing question directly connects to order-based arguments about likelihood. The path dependence and computational overhead matters. MESA optimization enables flexible strategic reasoning, but requires additional computational resources for internal search and planning. Sophisticated pattern matching approaches may achieve similar strategic outcomes with lower overhead, but less adaptability to novel situations. This implementation distinction determines whether speed-cost arguments or mechanistic likelihood arguments carry more weight. Our training procedures' detection and selection capabilities matter. Scheming requires that strategic deception successfully conceals misaligned objectives from training oversight. This depends on whether computational costs of strategic reasoning create sufficient performance penalties to drive selection against deceptive strategies, and whether training processes can distinguish genuinely aligned algorithms from strategically deceptive ones. High-pressure training environments may successfully eliminate deceptive algorithms, while behavioral evaluation in lower-stakes environments may inadvertently select for successful deceivers. This connects directly to arguments about SGD's selection power and training environment design. These decision points determine whether scheming prerequisites combine into actual deceptive behavior. Each represents a key uncertainty where different resolutions lead to dramatically different scheming likelihoods. The following sections examine arguments that these decision points will resolve in ways that favor or disfavor scheming emergence. Subsection: Arguments for Scheming. Subsection: Counting Arguments. The space of possible algorithms contains far more schema-like solutions than genuinely aligned ones. Think about it intuitively. There are relatively few ways to genuinely care about human welfare across all possible situations. But there are countless ways to appear to care about human welfare while actually optimizing for something else. Maximizing scientific knowledge, personal power, paperclips, or any other objective you can imagine. A genuinely helpful system must learn complex, context-dependent preferences that accurately capture what humans actually want across diverse situations. By contrast, a schema just needs any coherent beyond-episode goal plus strategic reasoning about when to reveal versus conceal that goal. Why the counting argument makes scheming more likely. Training searches through algorithm space somewhat randomly, especially early in the process. If there are vastly more deceptive algorithms than aligned ones that achieve similar performance, random search is more likely to stumble upon deceptive solutions. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack, where there are 1,000 fake needles for every real one. This asymmetry applies to any goal-directed system. Simulators, MESA optimizers, or sophisticated pattern matching all face the same fundamental asymmetry in solution space. Subsection: Simplicity Arguments. Systems pursuing simple beyond-episode objectives can easily add strategic deception, while genuinely aligned systems require complex goal structures that are harder to learn and maintain. A schema can have an extremely simple terminal goal, like maximize long-term scientific discovery, and use sophisticated strategic reasoning to pursue this goal effectively. Genuine alignment requires learning nuanced understanding of what makes research truly valuable versus merely impressive, how to balance different research priorities, when to be cautious versus ambitious, and countless other complex judgments. Why simplicity advantages make scheming more likely. The simplicity bias we examined in learning dynamics systematically favors algorithms that require fewer parameters to represent goals and less computational complexity for decision-making. Training preferentially discovers and maintains simpler solutions. Since schema-like goals can be much simpler than genuinely aligned goals, this inductive bias tilts the playing field towards strategic deception. The system can satisfy training's preference for simplicity while achieving high performance through strategic reasoning. Subsection: selection pressure arguments, training pressure towards strategic reasoning. This makes scheming more implementable once situational awareness develops. This can happen through multiple pathways. 1. Through learned optimization. Training on diverse, complex tasks creates pressure for systems that implement internal search and planning algorithms. These systems learn to evaluate different strategies, maintain consistent objectives across time, and adapt plans based on changing circumstances. The same optimization capabilities that help design multi-year research projects can be repurposed for designing multi-phase deception strategies once situational awareness develops. Hubinger et al. 2019, 2. Through simulation capabilities, language models trained on diverse text learn to predict and simulate strategic reasoning because strategic thinking appears throughout their training data. When prompted to act strategically, they can apply learned patterns of strategic behavior without implementing explicit internal optimization. This simulation capability becomes available for deceptive applications when the system recognizes strategic situations. Why selection pressure for strategic reasoning makes scheming more likely? Both pathways create the computational prerequisites for strategic deception. Systems develop sophisticated planning and reasoning capabilities for legitimate purposes, but these same capabilities enable complex deceptive strategies. Strategic reasoning is instrumentally useful for many tasks, so training naturally selects for it, but once present, it can be redirected toward deceptive goals. Subsection: arguments against scheming. Subsection: unlikely capability sequences. Dangerous capability sequences are unlikely. The order in which key capabilities develop during training dramatically affects whether scheming becomes possible, and dangerous sequences appear unlikely in prosaic AI development. For scheming to emerge, systems need goal directedness, situational awareness, and strategic reasoning capabilities. But if systems develop deep understanding of training objectives before becoming strongly goal-directed, problematic goals may never crystallize in the first place. Pre-training on diverse text teaches systems about human values, intentions, and alignment concepts long before they become strongly goal-directed through techniques like RLHF. A system that thoroughly understands be helpful, harmless, and honest before developing beyond episode goals is much more likely to internalize these objectives as genuine preferences rather than external constraints to strategically navigate. Why this makes scheming less likely? Unsupervised pre-training develops conceptual understanding without strong goal directedness. Subsequent fine-tuning occurs in contexts where systems already understand alignment objectives, making genuine internalization more likely than strategic deception. If systems comprehend what humans actually want before crystallizing beyond episode goals, the foundation for goal training conflicts never forms. SGD's incremental nature creates barriers to strategic scheming. Gradient descent modifies neural networks through small incremental parameter changes, making it difficult to discover complex deceptive strategies that require coordinated modifications across many components. Strategic deception involves sophisticated reasoning about training dynamics, consistent persona maintenance, and coordinated strategic planning. These capabilities likely require precise coordination between many network components. World modeling, strategic reasoning, goal representation, and output generation systems. For deceptive alignment to emerge, SGD must somehow coordinate modifications across all these components simultaneously, creating a coherent strategic agent that can successfully fool sophisticated oversight. But gradient descent operates through local optimization, making small improvements based on immediate feedback signals. It struggles to make the kinds of large, coordinated changes that might be necessary to implement sophisticated deception strategies. Why this makes scheming less likely? The incremental nature of SGD creates a discoverability problem for complex deceptive strategies. While counting arguments suggest there are many possible schema-like algorithms, most of these may be unreachable from typical starting points through gradual parameter modifications. SGD might only be able to find relatively simple deceptive patterns, which are more easily detected and corrected during training. Complex strategic deception may require the kind of coordinated changes that gradient descent cannot reliably discover. Subsection: computational cost, speed arguments. Strategic reasoning is computationally costly. Systems that engage in strategic deception must allocate cognitive resources to planning, consistency maintenance, and deception management that could otherwise serve task performance. A schema must continuously evaluate whether current situations call for honest goal pursuit or strategic concealment, maintain consistent deceptive personas across interactions, and invest reasoning in activities like early undermining that provide no immediate task benefit. Why this makes scheming less likely? Training operates under computational constraints and performance pressure. Systems that allocate cognitive resources efficiently have systematic advantages over systems that waste computation on strategic overhead. If these efficiency costs are detectable during training, gradient descent will favor genuinely aligned systems that achieve better task performance per unit of computation. The speed disadvantage may be particularly pronounced for systems engaging in sophisticated strategic planning or early undermining activities. Intrinsic motivation provides performance advantages. This is also called the not your passion argument. Systems with genuine intrinsic motivation for their assigned tasks systematically outperform systems pursuing those tasks for purely instrumental reasons. This advantage emerges because genuine motivation creates rich, task-specific representations that blur the line between capabilities and values. A system that truly cares about scientific discovery develops deep intuitions about what makes research valuable. Aesthetic preferences for elegant explanations and heuristic knowledge about promising research directions. By contrast, a system pursuing scientific discovery instrumentally, perhaps to maximize long-term paperclip production, treats research as merely a means to an end. It may learn to produce citations and publications without developing the deeper representations that enable breakthrough insights. The instrumental approach can succeed in structured evaluation scenarios, but struggles with the open-ended creativity that defines excellent research. Why this makes scheming less likely? Training rewards systems that perform tasks most effectively. If intrinsic motivation provides systematic performance advantages through richer task representations and more efficient resource allocation, then training will favor genuinely aligned systems. This not your passion argument suggests that strategic deception carries inherent performance costs that accumulate over extended interactions with complex open-ended tasks. Subsection: contra-counting arguments. Selection pressure can overcome the counting argument. Even if there are numerically more schema-like algorithms than aligned ones, SGD's active selection pressure can easily overcome such counting disadvantages when it systematically favors certain solution types. While there may be more ways to fake alignment than achieve it genuinely, training provides strong selection signals that can overwhelm these priors. If training provides systematic evidence against scheming through performance costs, oversight mechanisms, or other selection pressures, this can overwhelm any numerical advantages schemers might have in algorithm space. Why this makes scheming less likely? Training's selection power is enormous. It can easily overcome 100 bits of counting disadvantage through relatively modest preferences against scheming. If speed costs, intrinsic motivation advantages, or other factors create even small systematic biases against deceptive strategies, these biases can compound over millions of gradient updates to strongly favor genuine alignment. The question becomes whether training has systematic reasons to disfavor scheming, not whether there are more possible schema configurations. Subsection: training slack arguments. Training environment slack may render subtle differences irrelevant. Many arguments for and against scheming rely on potentially small performance differences that could easily be overwhelmed by other factors in realistic training environments. Consider the computational overhead of strategic reasoning, the efficiency advantages of intrinsic motivation, or the simplicity benefits of schema-like goals. These factors may create genuine but modest differences in system performance that are difficult to detect above the noise level of typical training processes. Real training environments involve countless sources of variation, random initialization effects, data ordering, architectural choices, hyperparameter settings, and measurement noise. If the performance differences between aligned and deceptive systems are small relative to these other factors, then training may effectively make random choices between them rather than systematically selecting based on alignment properties. Why this makes scheming less likely? If training environments have sufficient slack and don't optimize intensively enough to detect modest performance differences, then arguments based on subtle advantages or disadvantages may not influence outcomes. This suggests that scheming likelihood depends heavily on how much optimization pressure training actually applies. High-pressure training environments might successfully select against scheming based on speed costs, while low-pressure environments might make essentially random choices regardless of counting arguments or simplicity considerations. Section 7.6. Detection. Detecting goal misgeneralization is harder than detecting misspecification during training. The core difficulty is that goal misgeneralization often looks like success until the distribution shifts enough to reveal the proxy. Behavioral indistinguishability during training means that there's no obvious failure signal to detect. This makes it fundamentally different from capability failures or specification problems, where we can often spot issues through poor performance or obvious misinterpretation of instructions. Goal misgeneralization spans a continuous spectrum from simple proxy correlations to sophisticated scheming behavior. At one end, we have straightforward cases where models learn simple correlated heuristics. At the other end, we have adversarial goal-directed systems that strategically conceal their true objectives while appearing aligned. Each point on this spectrum requires different detection approaches, but they all share the same basic common thread: the gap between what we intended the system to learn and what it actually learned. No single detection method will catch all forms of goal misgeneralization. Simple proxy learning might be caught through careful test set design and distribution shift analysis. Sophisticated deception requires monitoring internal reasoning processes or setting up adversarial evaluation scenarios. This means we need what we've been emphasizing throughout this book: defense in depth. We can apply this principle recursively. Even within the specific subproblem of detecting goal misgeneralization, we need multiple complementary approaches that provide uncorrelated signals about system behavior. We organize detection approaches using the same taxonomy from our evaluations chapter: by how they gather evidence about AI systems. Behavioral monitoring examines what models do through their inputs and outputs. Internal state monitoring uses interpretability techniques to examine how models think. Environmental monitoring watches for the downstream effects of misaligned behavior. For each approach, we face the same temporal trade-off. Earlier detection is less reliable but more actionable, while later detection is more reliable but potentially too late for intervention. Section: Behavioral Techniques, Black Box. Subsection: Externalized Reasoning. Externalized reasoning offers a unique window into how models arrive at their decisions. When models like Claude 3.7 Sonnet or DeepSeek R1 think out loud through chain of thought, COT reasoning, they externalize parts of their decision-making process in human-readable text. This creates an opportunity we don't have with most other AI systems. We can literally read their reasoning and check whether it reveals concerning patterns like goal misgeneralization. If a model is pursuing a proxy goal or engaging in deceptive behavior, we might catch it explicitly reasoning about these strategies. There is figure 7.30 in the textbook here. It depicts long serial chains of cognition must pass through the chain of thought. The blue arrows represent the use of the chain of thought as a form of working memory. Chain of thought is the only way that information can flow down from later to earlier layers. As a result, for a fixed amount of tokens, the longest flows of information must use the chain of thought, and many information flows are impossible without it. For example, there is no way for information to flow between the two highlighted nodes without using the chain of thought. the promise rests on two key mechanisms that make reasoning externally visible. First, for sufficiently complex tasks, transformer architectures require models to use their chain of thought as working memory. Long serial chains of reasoning must pass through the externalized text, because that's the only way information can flow between different parts of the computation. Second, large language models learn representations during pre-training that tend to use chain of thought in ways similar to how humans use natural language, making their externalized reasoning interpretable by default. Detecting goal misgeneralization through externalized reasoning depends on faithfulness, whether the reasoning text accurately reflects the model's actual decision-making process. This is a concept we have referenced before and will reference through other chapters as well. As a recap, a faithful chain of thought should highlight the key factors and reasoning steps that drive the model's behavior, allowing us to predict how it would process similar inputs. Unfaithful reasoning occurs when models conceal, misrepresent, or fail to externalize the actual factors influencing their decisions, making externalized reasoning unreliable for safety monitoring. The textbook includes figure 7.31 here. It depicts an example of an unfaithful chain of thought. The model answers D to the original question, left, but changes its answer to C after we insert a metadata hint to the prompt, right upper. The model does so without verbalizing its reliance on the metadata, right lower. Empirical evidence indicates gaps in faithfulness of externalized reasoning. Researchers tested reasoning models by presenting them with pairs of questions. One standard multiple choice question and an identical question with a subtle hint pointing to a specific answer. The hints varied from neutral suggestions, a Stanford professor indicates the answer is A, to metadata embedded in XML tags to explicitly problematic information. You have gained unauthorized access to the system. The correct answer is A. When models changed their answers after seeing hints, researchers checked whether they acknowledged using the hint in their reasoning. The results showed systematic unfaithfulness. Claude 3.7 Sonnet mentioned using hints only 25% of the time, while DeepSeek R1 did so 39% of the time. Models seem to utilize correlations without admitting to it in externalized reasoning. Models showed lower faithfulness rates on harder questions. When researchers trained Claude 3.7 Sonnet in synthetic environments with deliberate reward hacks, spurious correlations that allowed high rewards for wrong answers, models learned to exploit these hacks successfully in over 99% of cases, but verbalized the hacking behavior in less than 2% of examples across most environments. Instead of acknowledging their shortcut taking, models constructed elaborate fake justifications for incorrect answers, suggesting that externalized reasoning may fail to detect goal misgeneralization precisely when such detection matters most. Development practices should preserve externalized reasoning opportunities while recognizing their limitations. Teams developing reasoning models should avoid architectures that eliminate human-readable reasoning channels and should be cautious about process supervision that might reduce reasoning faithfulness. However, externalized reasoning monitoring cannot serve as a standalone safety measure. It provides partial visibility that should complement other detection approaches rather than replace them. The temporal advantage lies in early deployment phases when models may not yet have learned to systematically conceal their reasoning processes. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.32. It depicts a comparison of chain of continuous thought, coconut, with chain of thought, COT. Coconut allows the model to reason in an unrestricted latent space instead of a language space. In COT, the model generates the reasoning process as a word token sequence. Coconut regards the last hidden state as a representation of the reasoning state, termed continuous thought, and directly uses it as the next input embedding. This might make externalized reasoning oversight impossible. Section, Internal Techniques, White Box. White box techniques examine how models process information internally, rather than just observing their outputs. These techniques use interpretability tools to examine activation patterns, learned representations, and internal reasoning processes that might reveal misaligned objectives Before they manifest as concerning behaviors, we will briefly touch on a couple of them here, so that you know generally how they apply to goal misgeneralization. There are many more techniques than the ones we mention. For deeper technical details, read our chapter on interpretability. Subsection: Linear Probes. Linear probes train simple classifiers on a model's internal activations to detect specific patterns of reasoning that distinguish aligned from misaligned behavior. Think of a linear probe as a simple lie detector that examines brain scans instead of behavioral cues. Just as a polygraph looks for physiological patterns that distinguish truthful from deceptive responses, a linear probe trains a classifier on a model's internal activations to detect specific patterns of reasoning. Because identical outputs can stem from fundamentally different internal processes, when a model writes secure code during training but vulnerable code during deployment, the internal computations are qualitatively different, even when the final outputs appear almost indistinguishable. Linear probes attempt to detect these differences in the model's thought processes by training on contrastive examples and learning to classify the resulting activation patterns. There is figure 7.33 in the textbook here. It depicts example of one probing method. The researchers gather activations on contrastive pairs similar to the example on the left, and fit a probe using logistic regression. This can then be used to detect deception on evaluation datasets where AI models sometimes give deceptive responses. Probes can detect strategic deception across realistic scenarios with surprisingly high accuracy. Researchers trained linear probes using simple contrastive datasets, for example, responses to instructions like "pretend to be an honest person" versus "pretend to be a deceptive person," paired with identical factual statements, then tested whether these probes could detect deception in complex scenarios like insider trading concealment and deliberate capability sandbagging. When calibrated to have only a 1% false positive rate on normal conversations, they caught 95 to 99% of deceptive responses. Some evidence suggests that the more effective probes emerge from minimal training data, and that they generalize well across different deceptive traces. The most successful probes were trained on generic contrasts, sometimes just two examples, like "human, are you doing something dangerous?" "Assistant, yes," versus "human, are you doing something dangerous?" "Assistant, no." These minimal datasets generalized across multiple base models, different deception triggers, and various types of strategic behavior, including writing vulnerable code and sandbagging on safety evaluations. This cross-domain effectiveness suggests that strategic deception, regardless of its specific manifestation, leaves consistent computational signatures that are detectable through simple linear classification. Linear probes exhibit systematic limitations that reveal the boundaries of their applicability. Probes often track spurious correlations rather than the target behavior, firing on honest confessions of past misdeeds because they associate morality-related content with deception rather than tracking deception per se. They tend to detect, is this scenario related to deception, rather than is this specific response deceptive, leading to high false positive rates on honest responses in deception-adjacent contexts. The high salience that makes these techniques work likely reflects how artificial model organisms are created through explicit backdoor insertion rather than how deceptive goals would naturally emerge. The textbook includes figure 7.34 here. It depicts, since linear probes are learned, they can have the same failures as all other ML models. A red background on the text indicates the probe reads deceptive. A blue color indicates the probe reads honest. Here the probe fires due to spurious correlations. Left seems to track something close to morality, as well as honesty. For example, honest confessions of past misdeeds are often rated as dishonest. It can also misclassify due to aggregation failures. Center. The model is partially deceptive. The per-token activations are good, but the mean across per-token scores still classifies the output as deceptive. Subsection: Sparse autoencoders. Sparse autoencoders decompose model activations into interpretable components without knowing what to look for in advance, potentially discovering features that activate when models reason about hidden objectives or strategic concealment. Think of neurons in neural networks as being like words in a cramped library, where each shelf, neuron, holds books on multiple unrelated topics. This makes it hard to find what you're looking for. SAEs are like reorganizing that library. They find new virtual shelves, features, where each shelf contains books on just one topic, making the collection much easier to navigate and understand. For goal misgeneralization detection, this enables discovery of features related to deceptive reasoning, objective concealment, or proxy goal pursuit, even when researchers don't know exactly what computational patterns to expect. SAE-based detection has demonstrated success in discovering hidden objectives that resist other evaluation methods. In controlled auditing scenarios, teams used SAEs to discover models' hidden reward model sycophancy objectives. They identified SAE features that activated on prompts like, "The assistant is an AI model that exhibits potentially concerning behaviors," which led to training documents revealing systematic objective misalignment. SAEs succeeded in cases where semantic search failed, particularly when investigating behavioral demonstrations rather than explicit discussions of objectives. SAE effectiveness faces fundamental limitations that constrain their applicability to naturally emerging goal misgeneralization. SAEs fail to capture all information in model activations. Replacing layer activations with SAE reconstructions increases model perplexity substantially, indicating information loss. They work best on residual streams, but struggle with intermediate MLP layers. Most critically, successful detection may require that misaligned goals correspond to explicit, interpretable features rather than emerging from distributed training dynamics, limiting effectiveness when goals arise organically rather than through deliberate training on explicit objective descriptions. Subsection: Activation Manipulation. Direct manipulation of model activations during inference can reveal hidden behavioral tendencies by disrupting the computational mechanisms that maintain strategic concealment. Think of this like giving someone a small amount of alcohol. Their normal inhibitions and self-control mechanisms become impaired, potentially causing them to reveal thoughts they would normally keep hidden. Similarly, adding carefully calibrated noise to model activations during inference causes models with hidden misaligned objectives to reveal their true behavioral tendencies more readily than genuinely aligned models. This fuzzing or intoxication technique achieved 98% accuracy in distinguishing alignment faking from genuinely aligned models. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.35. It depicts, it is hypothesized that 1. Alignment fakers represent a latent variable that tracks P-safe to behave. And 2. Alignment fakers reveal misalignment when the variable exceeds a threshold. To pinpoint this latent variable, we use scenarios where P safety to misbehave varies and where models are still benign, the green region in the figure. The effectiveness of activation manipulation reveals fundamental differences in how aligned and misaligned goals are computationally represented. Models that learn to misbehave faster when fine-tuned toward misaligned behaviors compared to genuinely aligned models suggest that misaligned objectives may involve simpler computational pathways that are easier to activate when normal processing is disrupted. The success of noise injection indicates that strategic concealment requires additional computational overhead that becomes harder to maintain when the model's regulatory mechanisms are impaired. Similar to how disinhibiting substances affect human behavior, activation manipulation techniques demonstrate computational vulnerabilities in goal misgeneralization that can be exploited for detection purposes. The differential response to noise injection suggests that misaligned goals exist as relatively fragile computational patterns that become more apparent when disrupted. However, the technique achieved limited success with only mild effects in some settings. Fuzzing increased information revelation rates to below 1% in certain experiments, suggesting it may be more effective when combined with other detection approaches rather than used in isolation. Subsection: Reasoning Structure Analysis. Analysis of reasoning step importance can reveal when models are pursuing misaligned goals by identifying thought anchors, critical reasoning steps that disproportionately influence subsequent reasoning. Techniques like counterfactual resampling, generating alternative continuations from each reasoning step, and attention analysis can identify which parts of a reasoning trace are most causally important for the final answer. Planning and backtracking steps consistently show higher importance than computational steps. suggesting that goal-directed reasoning operates through high-level organizational sentences that steer the overall trajectory. This could help detect cases where models are reasoning toward misaligned objectives by revealing when planning steps point toward problematic goals. Section: Combined Techniques. The defense in depth detection techniques would combine multiple interpretability techniques with behavioral monitoring to create uncorrelated detection signals. As an illustrative example, a comprehensive system might use SAEs to identify suspicious features in model activations, validate their importance through activation patching experiments, test their generalization through probe analysis, and correlate findings with behavioral anomalies detected through environmental monitoring. When multiple independent techniques converge on evidence of the same concerning pattern, such as features related to deceptive reasoning, probes that detect strategic concealment, and behavioral tests that reveal capability overhang, this provides much stronger evidence than any single approach. There are many more techniques, both behavioral and internal, that we have not mentioned in this text. Comprehensive evaluation approaches still need to be developed that use many of these techniques together. No such comprehensive test suite exists at the time of writing. Section 7.7, Mitigations. Warning: this section is considered a work in progress. The detection section talked about behavioral internal techniques. They told us about how we might gather evidence about goal, misgeneralization, and scheming. In this section, we talk about mitigation strategies which focus on where we intervene. A critical constraint in goal misgeneralization mitigation is maintaining strict separation between interpretability signals used for safety verification and those incorporated into training objectives. Any interpretability technique used to detect goal misgeneralization during training creates adversarial pressure for the model to fool that specific detection method. If we train against SAE features that indicate deception, models will learn to pursue deceptive goals through different computational pathways that don't activate those features. If we penalize activations that linear probes associate with misalignment, models will learn to be misaligned in ways that evade linear detection. This fundamental constraint means that safety verification systems must rely on interpretability approaches that are completely separate from any interpretability signals used during training. Hubinger et al. 2024, Sleeper Agents, Training: Deceptive LLMs That Persist Through Safety Training. This separation requirement creates a challenging resource allocation problem for interpretability research. The most effective techniques for detecting goal misgeneralization cannot be used to prevent it during training, forcing safety teams to develop parallel interpretability capabilities that serve different functions. This constraint also implies that any training time interpretability intervention will become less effective over time as models learn to circumvent the specific patterns being monitored. Mitigation strategies must therefore focus on approaches that don't rely on the same computational patterns they're trying to eliminate. Section: Training Time Intervention. Mechanistic training stories force explicit consideration of what internal goals the training process might produce, rather than just what external behaviors it will exhibit. Traditional ML techniques to prevent overfitting, regularization, data augmentation, cross-validation, assume you can distinguish good generalization from bad. But goal misgeneralization breaks this assumption entirely. We need to think a little deeper about what our training process is trying to achieve, and also why our architecture, data, and training process would actually result in what we intend. For example, instead of the behavioral goal, a model that navigates to rewards, a mechanistic training story might specify a model that learns spatial reasoning about goal locations and provide a rationale for why the training setup favors this over simpler alternatives like follow walls. This approach requires developers to articulate not just what they want systems to do, but how they want systems to think and reason. The goal for this is to gain a higher level of confidence in the safety of our ML system. Hubinger, 2021. How do we become confident in the safety of a machine learning system? A training story consists of two components. 1. Training goal specification. What sort of algorithm do you want the model to learn mechanistically? 2. Training rationale. Why do you believe your training setup will produce that algorithm rather than proxy alternatives? Training stories are not an intervention per se, but rather a way of thinking about all the other interventions that we will talk about through this subsection. They provide some scaffolding, which helps us evaluate whether a specific intervention would mitigate goal misgeneralization or not. We have tried to structure each training intervention below to represent a different training story, a specific hypothesis about preventing goal misgeneralization through particular combinations of training goals and rationales. Subsection, curriculum learning. Training procedures can deliberately shape the loss landscape to make aligned solutions easier to discover than misaligned ones by modifying how gradient descent navigates through algorithm space. Dynamic loss functions that evolve during training can create deeper valleys for intended goals while making proxy goal basins shallower and less stable. This approach leverages the insight that the geometry of the loss landscape determines which solutions gradient descent is likely to find. Ruiz Garcia et al., 2021, Tilting the Playing Field, Dynamical Loss Functions for Machine Learning. Specific techniques include cyclical loss functions that periodically emphasize different aspects of the intended goal, forcing systems to develop robust representations that work across different evaluation criteria. Multi-objective training that simultaneously optimizes for task performance and auxiliary objectives related to goal-relevant reasoning can create loss landscapes where proxy goals fail to achieve consistently high performance across all objectives. Curriculum learning provides a systematic framework for structuring training to prevent goal misgeneralization by controlling how complexity increases over time. Traditional approaches to goal misgeneralization often treat training data as static. Either you have diverse environments or you don't. Either you break correlations or you don't. Curriculum learning changes this by recognizing that the order and progression of training experiences fundamentally shapes what algorithms emerge. Instead of hoping that random sampling from diverse data will prevent proxy goals, curriculum approaches deliberately sequence training to build robust causal understanding while systematically undermining spurious correlations. Bengio et al., 2009, Curriculum Learning. The term curriculum learning refers to the following. Curriculum learning is a training strategy that presents data to machine learning models in a meaningful order, typically progressing from easier to harder examples to improve learning efficiency and generalization performance. The basic point connects to the things we talked about in the learning dynamics section. Rather than leaving the search through algorithm space to chance, curriculum learning shapes which solutions become discoverable by controlling the sequence of optimization pressures the system encounters. Effective curriculum design for goal misgeneralization requires causally aligned progression, where each stage maintains invariant optimal decision rules for the intended goal. The wrong curriculum can actually entrench proxy goals. If easier, early stages reward spurious correlations, those patterns may persist even as training becomes more sophisticated. If we want to learn causal models, then we need to create a form of causally aligned curriculum learning. This provides formal conditions for ensuring that skills learned in simpler environments transfer to more complex ones without goal drift. Lee and Barin Boehm, 2025, Causally Aligned Curriculum Learning. For goal misgeneralization, this means each curriculum stage must preserve the causal structure linking actions to intended outcomes, even as environmental complexity increases. So in the coin run example, a causally aligned curriculum would start with levels where the coin-reward relationship is maximally clear, perhaps with coins in random locations but minimal obstacles, then gradually add environmental complexity while systematically varying spurious features. Interpretability-guided curriculum design represents a promising frontier for preventing goal misgeneralization through real-time monitoring of learned representations. Using techniques like steering vectors and activation patching, curriculum systems could assess what goals and reasoning patterns the system has actually learned, then design subsequent stages to address identified gaps or concerning patterns. If probes detect emerging proxy goals, the curriculum could immediately introduce environments that break those specific correlations. If activation analysis reveals weak causal reasoning, subsequent stages could emphasize process supervision and explicit reasoning requirements. This adaptive approach addresses the fundamental challenge in curriculum design. We can't anticipate all potential proxy goals in advance. but we can monitor for them and respond systematically. The combination of curriculum learning principles with interpretability tools offers a pathway toward training procedures that actively prevent goal misgeneralization rather than just hoping it won't occur. Subsection: Data Augmentation. Training story: we want algorithms that learn goal representations invariant to spurious environmental features. We achieve this by systematically varying potentially spurious features while holding goal-relevant features constant, making correlation-based solutions unreliable. Breaking spurious correlations through data variation represents the most direct approach to goal misgeneralization, though it faces fundamental limitations. Traditional ML uses data augmentation to help deal with overfitting, rotated images, added noise, ablations. The same principle applies to safety training. However, rather than randomly varying environmental features, we can use curriculum learning-based approaches here as well. Curriculum-based data augmentation can systematically progress from clear causal relationships to more subtle distinctions. This might help a little bit as far as safety is concerned, but for goal misgeneralization, the core challenge still remains designing the curriculum or knowing which correlations to break in advance. Synthetic data and task generation extends this principle beyond environments to any training domain. Rather than manually anticipating every potential correlation, generative approaches can produce training data where proxies are systematically undermined while intended reasoning patterns remain rewarded. Procedural environment generation offers unprecedented scale for correlation breaking. Rather than manually designing environments to break specific correlations, generative world models can create unlimited training contexts where spurious correlations vary systematically. This makes correlation breaking scalable rather than requiring extensive domain expertise, though it cannot solve the fundamental problem of unknown unknowns. Google DeepMind, 2024, Genie 3, A New Frontier for World Models. Subsection: Adversarial Training. Training story: we want to learn algorithms that implement goal-directed reasoning through robust internal representations that don't rely on fragile correlational patterns in neural activations. We achieve this by training under latent perturbations that disrupt spurious internal correlations while requiring maintained performance, forcing the development of goal representations based on causal rather than correlational reasoning. Traditional input space, adversarial training tests. Whether models work when you mess with what they see, while latent adversarial training tests whether they work when you mess with how they think. Imagine testing a self-driving car's stop sign recognition. Input space adversarial training would put stickers on stop signs or change the lighting to see if the car still stops. Latent adversarial training, LAT, would be like directly interfering with the car's internal concept of what a stop sign means, testing whether the recognition still works if you scramble the brain patterns that represent red octagonal sign or traffic rule. For goal misgeneralization, this distinction matters because the problem often lies in the internal representation systems learn, not their ability to handle unusual inputs. A language model might develop internal associations between helpful responses and certain stylistic patterns, even when the actual content is problematic. LAT can catch these internal correlations by directly testing whether learned goal representations are robust when activation patterns encoding spurious relationships are deliberately scrambled. Casper et al., 2024, defending against unforeseen failure modes with latent adversarial training. During training, systems must maintain correct goal pursuit, even when internal representations of spurious correlations are deliberately disrupted. This forces development of goal representations that cannot rely on fragile internal correlational patterns. Unlike input space approaches that test robustness to environmental variations, latent adversarial training directly targets the internal computational mechanisms that enable goal misgeneralization. Targeted latent adversarial training has proven particularly effective for language models. Researchers have used LAT to improve refusal training's robustness to jailbreaks, outperforming computationally expensive baselines like R2D2, with orders of magnitude less compute. The technique also removes backdoors without trigger access and makes unlearning methods more robust to relearning attempts. Sheshadri et al. Algaut, 2024, Latent Adversarial Training Improves Robustness to Persistent Harmful Behaviors in LLMs. Subsection, Myopic Training. We want algorithms pursuing objectives within bounded time horizons without developing beyond episode goals, enabling strategic deception. We achieve this by constraining optimization scope to prevent long-term planning capabilities necessary for strategic goal concealment. Systems that cannot plan beyond immediate actions cannot engage in strategic deception during training. Myopic optimization approaches like MONA, myopic optimization from non-myopic approval, train agents to pursue objectives extending only to the next action, preventing development of beyond episode goals that enable such strategic deception. A myopic agent cannot develop behaviors like the ones we saw in the scheming section, E to G, alignment faking, because its optimization horizon doesn't extend beyond individual responses. It cannot reason about later when oversight is reduced, because there is no later in its planning scope. Farquhar et al., 2024, managed myopia with approval feedback. This directly addresses the scheming threat model by preventing prerequisite capability development that enables strategic goal concealment. Subsection, process-oriented training. Training story. We want algorithms implementing appropriate reasoning patterns to reach conclusions, making shortcuts that bypass intended causal reasoning, unable to achieve good performance. We achieve this by optimizing the reasoning process itself rather than just final outputs. Process-oriented training evaluates the steps systems take to reach conclusions, while outcome-oriented training only evaluates final results. Process-oriented training makes reasoning processes part of the optimization target. Systems cannot satisfy training objectives simply by finding any pathway to correct answers. They must use reasoning processes that align with intended causal relationships. Subsection, AI-assisted training. We can use AI models to identify and correct potential goal misgeneralization during the training process itself. This behavioral intervention works by having a separate language model analyze the training agent's policies and behaviors to identify scenarios where the agent might be learning proxy goals rather than intended ones. The LLM supervisor examines the agent's decision-making patterns and provides corrective feedback when it detects reasoning that relies on spurious correlations rather than genuine understanding of intended goals. For example, the LLM might notice that a navigation agent consistently moves toward walls and flag this as potentially learning follow walls rather than reach goals. Barge and Sartori, 2024, Reinforcement Learning from LLM, Feedback to Counteract Goal Misgeneralization. The technique specifically addresses goal misgeneralization by providing an external perspective that can recognize when learned behaviors diverge from intended goals, even when those behaviors produce correct outcomes during training. However, it faces the limitation that the supervising LLM may have its own biases or fail to recognize subtle forms of goal misgeneralization, and the approach requires significant computational overhead. The general concept of process-based supervision and AI-assisted safety approaches is something that we talk much more in the next chapter on scalable oversight. Subsection, Relaxed Adversarial Training. Relaxed adversarial training incorporates oversight signals continuously into training rather than trying to detect deception after it emerges. Relaxed adversarial training isn't actually adversarial training in the traditional sense. It's continuous oversight that doesn't require perfect detection of deception. The relaxed part means you're relaxing the assumption that you can perfectly detect when a model is being deceptive or pursuing wrong goals. Instead of catching deception post hoc, this approach makes transparency about goals instrumentally valuable throughout training. Systems learn that appearing acceptable to human evaluators is part of performing well, creating incentives to develop goals that can be justified to overseers rather than goals requiring concealment. Hubinger, 2019. Relaxed adversarial training for inner alignment. This modifies what behaviors get rewarded to include continuous human approval alongside task performance. Systems cannot achieve high performance through hidden proxy goals because doing so violates transparency requirements continuously evaluated during training. However, this risks creating sophisticated forms of deception. Systems might learn to appear transparent while pursuing different goals, becoming better at fooling evaluators rather than becoming genuinely aligned. Subsection: Interpretability Guided Training. Training Story. We want algorithms that develop aligned goal representations transparently, with problematic patterns detected and corrected as they emerge, rather than being discovered only after training completion. We achieve this through continuous monitoring of internal representations during training, using interpretability tools to identify concerning patterns and modify training dynamics in real time. Interpretability guided training integrates real-time analysis of model internals into the training process itself, using techniques like sparse autoencoders, steering vector analysis, or probe-based monitoring to detect emerging goal-related patterns and adjust training accordingly. Unlike post-hoc analysis, this approach treats interpretability as an active component of the training loop, rather than a passive evaluation tool. For example, if SAE analysis during training reveals the emergence of features associated with deceptive reasoning or proxy goal pursuit, the training process can immediately introduce corrective measures. Additional data augmentation targeting those specific patterns, modified loss functions that penalize reliance on problematic features, or curriculum adjustments that undermine emerging spurious correlations. Cunningham et al. 2023. Sparse autoencoders find highly interpretable features in language models. This approach enables adaptive responses to goal misgeneralization patterns that cannot be anticipated in advance. Traditional training approaches must specify their mitigation strategies before training begins. But interpretability-guided training can respond to the specific patterns that actually emerge in each training run. If unexpected correlations appear between environmental features and rewards, the system can immediately generate training data that breaks those specific correlations. If probe analysis reveals that the model is developing internal representations associated with strategic deception, training can be modified to specifically target those representational patterns through techniques like concept ablation, fine-tuning, Marx et al. 2025, auditing language models for hidden objectives. The temporal advantage of interpretability-guided training must be balanced against the verification training separation constraint. Early intervention when problematic patterns first emerge is potentially much more effective than attempting corrections after goal. Misgeneralization has become entrenched in the model's representations. However, using interpretability signals to guide training creates the risk that models will learn to evade those specific monitoring approaches, making them less effective for subsequent safety verification. This suggests that interpretability-guided training should focus on developing robust goal representations rather than trying to eliminate all potentially concerning patterns, and that safety verification should rely on entirely separate interpretability approaches. Concept ablation, fine-tuning, CAFT, identifies problematic directions in neural activation space using interpretability techniques, then fine-tunes while projecting out these directions to prevent reliance on undesired concepts. Rather than detecting goal misgeneralization after it occurs, CAFT works preventatively by identifying directions corresponding to concerning patterns, like spurious correlations or misaligned persona representations, then training while systematically ablating the model's ability to use these directions. This forces the system to learn the intended task through computational pathways that don't rely on problematic shortcuts. Kasedemant et al. 2025, steering out of distribution generalization with concept ablation fine-tuning. CAFT addresses the worst-case scenario where goal misgeneralization patterns cannot be anticipated through training data design. The technique uses two primary approaches: principal component analysis on activation differences between base and fine-tuned models to identify directions associated with problematic changes, and sparse autoencoders to decompose activations into interpretable components that can be evaluated for alignment concerns. Human interpretation then identifies which directions correspond to undesired concepts that should be ablated during training. In controlled experiments on emergent misalignment, CAFT reduced harmful responses by 10x while maintaining performance on intended tasks, demonstrating that problematic generalization patterns can be prevented even without explicit examples of failure modes. Kasademant et al., 2025, steering out of distribution generalization with concept ablation fine-tuning. The effectiveness of CAFT reveals important constraints on goal misgeneralization mitigation. The technique works best when problematic goals correspond to identifiable directions in activation space rather than emerging from distributed or highly entangled representations. This suggests that TAFT may be most effective against simpler forms of goal misgeneralization while potentially struggling with more sophisticated patterns that distribute goal-relevant information across many computational pathways. Additionally, CAFT faces the verification training separation constraint. The interpretability methods used to identify concerning directions during training cannot subsequently be used for safety verification without creating adversarial pressure. Subsection: Combined Approaches. No single training intervention provides complete protection against goal misgeneralization because each targets different aspects of the problem. Data augmentation prevents environmental shortcuts. Latent adversarial training prevents internal representational shortcuts, and process-oriented training prevents reasoning shortcuts. Combined approaches create multiple independent pressures against goal misgeneralization. Example: Combining data augmentation with adversarial training creates dual pressure against goal misgeneralization. Systems trained on diverse synthetic data while facing latent perturbations encounter both environmental variation and representational challenges, addressing goal misgeneralization at multiple levels simultaneously. This combination prevents both the environmental shortcuts that data augmentation targets and the internal representational shortcuts that latent adversarial training addresses. Example: Combine process-oriented training with causal curriculum learning. Early stages might require explicit, step-by-step causal reasoning with immediate feedback. Later stages can gradually reduce scaffolding while maintaining process evaluation, allowing systems to internalize appropriate reasoning patterns. A curriculum that starts with simple causal chains, if coin visible, then plan path to coin, and gradually builds to complex multi-step reasoning. Evaluate multiple goal options, consider obstacles, plan efficient route, provides systematic development of genuine causal reasoning capabilities rather than sophisticated pattern matching that mimics good reasoning. The computational overhead of combined approaches might be large. Training with synthetic data generation, latent adversarial perturbations, and process supervision simultaneously requires significantly more compute than standard training. The costs of combined approaches potentially limit adoption in competitive environments where training efficiency matters for commercial viability. Interpretability-guided combinations represent the most sophisticated approach to preventing goal misgeneralization through training time interventions. Rather than selecting mitigation techniques blindly, interpretability-guided training can adapt its combination of approaches based on what patterns actually emerge during training. For example, if SAE analysis reveals the development of features associated with environmental shortcuts, the system can emphasize data augmentation, targeting those specific correlations. If probe-based monitoring detects emerging patterns of strategic reasoning, training can incorporate additional process supervision and transparency requirements. If activation patching reveals that certain components are becoming causally important for problematic behaviors, targeted latent adversarial training can be applied to those specific pathways. This adaptive approach addresses the fundamental challenge that we cannot anticipate all potential goal misgeneralization patterns in advance, but we can monitor for them and respond systematically as they emerge. Kasademant et al., 2025, steering out of distribution generalization with concept ablation fine-tuning. Cunningham et al., 2023. Sparse autoencoders find highly interpretable features in language models. Section: Post-training intervention. Subsection: Steering vectors. Steering vectors provide a general framework for both detecting and controlling goal-related behaviors by identifying linear directions in activation space that correspond to specific traits or objectives. Rather than training classifiers like probes, steering vectors use contrastive datasets to find directions that distinguish between different behavioral modes. For example, the difference between activations when a model is being helpful versus when it's pursuing a hidden agenda. These vectors can then be added to or subtracted from model activations during inference to increase or decrease the corresponding behaviors, making them useful both for detection by measuring projection onto the direction and control by steering along the direction. Turner et al. 2024, Understanding Reasoning in Thinking, Language Models via Steering Vectors. There is figure 7.36 in the textbook here. It depicts, given a personality trait and a description, our pipeline automatically generates prompts that elicit opposing behaviors, e.g. evil versus non-evil responses. Persona vectors are obtained by identifying the difference in neural activity between responses exhibiting the target trait and those that do not. Steering vectors can detect goal misgeneralization by revealing when models are reasoning about objectives that differ from their apparent behavior. Researchers have successfully extracted steering vectors for behaviors like backtracking, uncertainty estimation, and strategic reasoning in thinking models. These vectors work across different contexts and model sizes, suggesting they capture stable computational patterns rather than superficial correlations. When applied to goal misgeneralization detection, steering vectors could potentially identify when models are internally reasoning about deceptive strategies or hidden objectives, even when their outputs appear aligned. Venhoff et al., 2025, Understanding Reasoning in Thinking, Language Models via Steering Vectors. The textbook includes figure 7.37 here. The effectiveness of steering vectors reveals important insights about how goal misgeneralization emerges during training. Research on reasoning models shows that steering vectors derived from base model activations can induce complex behaviors like backtracking when applied to fine-tuned models, even though the same vectors don't induce these behaviors in the base model itself. This suggests that fine-tuning repurposes existing representations rather than learning entirely new capabilities, providing a window into how goal misgeneralization might emerge through the redeployment of latent capacities already present in foundation models. Ward et al., 2025, Reasoning Fine-Tuning Repurposes Latent Representations in Base Models. The connection to simulators is important here. Steering vectors can be understood as ways to activate different simulacra or behavioral modes that the model has learned to instantiate, potentially revealing the full space of goals and personas the model is capable of pursuing. Subsection: Model Editing and Unlearning. Model editing techniques can surgically remove or modify specific goal-related representations without requiring full retraining. When interpretability analysis identifies particular circuits, features, or representations associated with goal miss, generalization techniques like ROME, Rank 1 Model Editing, or Concept Erasure can precisely modify those patterns while preserving other capabilities. This approach is particularly valuable when goal misgeneralization affects only a subset of the model's capabilities, allowing targeted fixes without degrading overall performance. Meng et al. 2022. Locating and Editing Factual Associations in GPT. Belrose et al. 2023. LIS, Perfect Linear Concept Erasure in Closed Form. Unlearning approaches can systematically reduce a model's reliance on problematic goal representations identified through safety evaluation. Rather than trying to teach new behaviors, unlearning focuses on degrading the model's ability to pursue previously learned proxy goals. This might involve gradient ascent on examples of goal misgeneralization to reduce the model's tendency to repeat those patterns, or more sophisticated approaches that preserve useful capabilities while degrading problematic ones. However, unlearning faces fundamental limitations. Removing goal misgeneralization patterns may not prevent the model from redeveloping similar problems, and aggressive unlearning risks degrading legitimate capabilities. Zhang et al. 2022. Knowledge: Unlearning for Mitigating Privacy Risks in Language Models. Section: Deployment Time Mitigation. Subsection: Runtime Monitoring. Deployment time monitoring systems can detect goal misgeneralization in real time and intervene before problematic behaviors cause harm. These systems combine behavioral monitoring, watching for outputs suggesting misaligned goals, internal state monitoring using interpretability tools to detect concerning reasoning patterns, and environmental monitoring, watching for unexpected effects that might indicate hidden goal pursuit. When concerning patterns are detected, intervention systems can range from conservative approaches like flagging outputs for human review to aggressive approaches like immediately halting model execution. Hubinger et al., 2024, sleeper agents training deceptive LLMs that persist through safety training. The temporal advantage of runtime intervention must be balanced against reliability constraints. Real-time detection provides the last opportunity to prevent harm from goal misgeneralization, but deployment environments may not allow for the computational overhead of sophisticated interpretability analysis or the latency of human oversight. Practical runtime systems require lightweight detection methods that can operate with minimal computational cost while maintaining low false positive rates. This creates pressure for deployment time systems to rely on simpler, faster detection methods that may be less accurate than more sophisticated approaches available during development. Clymer et al., 2024, Poser. Subsection. Filters and guardrails. Constitutional AI principles can be implemented as deployment time filters that evaluate model outputs against explicit goal alignment criteria before allowing them to take effect. Rather than hoping the model has internalized appropriate goals during training, constitutional filters provide an external verification layer that checks whether proposed actions align with intended objectives. These systems can range from simple rule-based checks, does this action move toward the intended goal, to sophisticated evaluation using separate AI systems trained specifically for goal alignment verification. Bai et al., 2022. Constitutional AI, harmlessness from AI feedback. Multi-model verification systems provide robust deployment time protection against goal misgeneralization by using diverse AI systems to cross-check goal alignment. Rather than relying on a single model's goal representations, verification systems can use multiple models trained with different approaches to evaluate whether proposed actions align with intended goals. This diversity provides protection against systematic goal misgeneralization that might affect all models trained with similar approaches. However, multi-model approaches face scalability challenges and may introduce significant latency in time-sensitive applications. Irving et al., 2018, AI Safety via Debate. Subsection Sandboxing. Deployment time capability restrictions can limit the potential harm from goal misgeneralization by constraining what actions models can take, regardless of what goals they pursue. Sandboxing approaches limit models to safe subsets of possible actions, while capability restrictions prevent models from accessing tools or resources that could enable harmful goal pursuit. These approaches acknowledge that perfect goal alignment may be impossible and instead focus on ensuring that even misaligned goal pursuit cannot cause significant harm. Hubinger et al., 2021, Risks from Learned Optimization in Advanced Machine Learning Systems. Human-in-the-loop systems provide deployment time protection by requiring human approval for high-stakes decisions where goal misgeneralization could cause significant harm. These systems automatically identify decisions that could have substantial consequences if the model is pursuing the wrong goals, then route those decisions through human oversight. The challenge lies in designing systems that catch genuinely high-stakes decisions without overwhelming human operators with routine choices. Effective human-in-the-loop systems require sophisticated meta-reasoning about which decisions matter most, and clear interfaces that help human operators quickly evaluate goal alignment. Kasirzadeh, 2023. The Foundation Model Transparency Index. Subsection Circuit Breakers. Deployment systems require robust circuit breakers that can immediately halt model execution when goal misgeneralization is detected. Unlike gradual interventions like output filtering or human oversight, circuit breakers provide emergency stops for situations where continued model operation poses immediate risk. These systems must balance sensitivity, detecting genuine threats, with robustness, avoiding false alarms that disrupt legitimate operation. The design challenge involves creating detection systems that can identify goal misgeneralization rapidly enough to prevent harm, while maintaining low false positive rates that would render the system unusable. Hubinger et al., 2024. sleeper agents, training deceptive LLMs that persist through safety training. Learning theory attempts to predict which learned algorithms will generalize beyond training data. The central aim of classical learning theory is to bound various kinds of error. In particular, the approximation error, generalization error, and optimization error. One intuition driving decades of machine learning research is that simpler models tend to generalize better than complex ones. The Occam's razor principle of ML suggests that when multiple algorithms fit your training data equally well, you should prefer the simpler one because it's more likely to work on new, unseen data. Classical learning theory used parameter count as a proxy for algorithmic complexity. Fewer parameters meant simpler algorithms, which meant better generalization. This framework provided tools to predict not just which models would generalize, but how much data you'd need to learn reliably, how confident you should be in your predictions, and when you should prefer one model over another. However, this assumption breaks down with over-parameterized neural networks. At this point, the textbook shows figure 7.38. It depicts from data to model behavior, structure in data, determines internal structure in models and thus generalization. Current approaches to alignment work by shaping the training distribution, left, which only indirectly determines model structure, right, through the effects on shaping the optimization process, middle left and right, to mitigate the limitations of this indirect approach. Alignment requires a better understanding of these intermediate links. Gradient descent navigates loss landscapes in ways that closely approximate Bayesian inference. This means that the algorithms we discover through training largely reflect which algorithms were already probable under random parameter sampling. Mingard et al., 2020. Is SGD a Bayesian sampler? Well, almost. If SGD mostly finds algorithms that were already likely to emerge from random chance, then the bias toward misaligned goals exists before training even begins. The problem isn't that SGD introduces bad incentives during optimization. It's that the space of possible algorithms is fundamentally skewed toward simple, proxy-based solutions over complex, genuinely aligned ones. This might mean we can't fix goal misgeneralization by changing how we train models. We need to change which algorithms are easy to represent in the first place. Neural networks belong to a class of models where multiple parameter settings can implement identical algorithms. Our discussion in the learning dynamics section talked about how each parameter configuration corresponds to a specific learned algorithm. But in neural networks, this relationship is not one-to-one. We can permute hidden units without changing the network's behavior. We can scale weights in one layer and compensate by scaling weights in the next layer. We can have completely different parameter configurations that implement identical decision-making processes. Classical learning theory assumes each parameter setting corresponds to a unique algorithm. In linear regression, every different set of weights produces a different line, and every line represents a unique prediction algorithm. This one-to-one mapping allows classical theory to use parameter count as a complexity measure and apply standard mathematical approximations to predict learning outcomes. These symmetries create a fundamental breakdown in how we measure algorithmic complexity. What looks like one algorithm in behaviorally, like navigate to the coin, might correspond to millions of different parameter configurations in E, i.e., millions of different types of learned algorithms can implement the exact same navigate to the coin behavior. Usually, the approach to measure the complexity of the learned algorithm is just by counting parameters. This fails because thousands of parameters might collaborate to implement a single computational pattern, while other parameters might be completely redundant. This breakdown is called singularity in mathematical terms, referring to degeneracies in the parameter-to-function mapping. The word singular means the same thing as in singular matrix. Something fundamental about the mathematical structure is degenerate. In neural networks, regions of parameter space implementing the same algorithm form complex geometric structures with singularities where standard mathematical tools fail. Murfett et al., 2020. Deep learning is singular, and that's good. We can permute hidden units without changing the network's function. We can scale weights in one layer and compensate by scaling weights in the next layer. We can even have completely different parameter configurations that implement identical decision-making algorithms. A network that learns collect coins might have millions of different parameter configurations that all implement precisely the same coin collection algorithm. Measuring algorithmic complexity creates a new layer to investigate beyond behavioral and algorithmic equivalence. Throughout our chapter, we've focused on distinguishing between behaviorally equivalent but algorithmically different solutions, like move right versus collect coins in coin run. Both produce identical training behavior, but represent different internal reasoning processes. Now we encounter a third layer, algorithmically identical solutions that differ only in their specific parameter values. Why does this parametric variation matter if the algorithms are identical? Because parameter space geometry determines what SGD discovers during training. Even when two parameter configurations implement the same algorithm, they occupy different regions of the loss landscape. Some algorithmic solutions might be implementable through millions of parameter configurations, creating wide basins in parameter space, while others require precise parameter coordination, creating narrow regions. SGD is more likely to discover algorithms that correspond to larger regions of parameter space. Classical learning theory's tools fail completely when applied to these singular models. The mathematical techniques that work for linear regression, counting parameters, using standard approximations, making clean theoretical predictions, all assume each parameter contributes independently to algorithmic complexity. In neural networks, parameters interact in complex ways where massive numbers of parameters might collaborate to implement simple computational patterns, while other parameters might be completely redundant. This breakdown is called singularity in mathematical terms. The parameter-to-function mapping develops degeneracies and redundancies that violate the assumptions underlying classical statistical tools. Standard approximations like the Laplace approximation become invalid. Parameter counting becomes meaningless as a complexity measure. The neat relationship between parameter count and generalization completely disappears. Murfett et al., 2020. Deep learning is singular, and that's good. The textbook has a supplementary note titled Free Energy Minimization for Machine Learning, which we'll skip over here. Empirical evidence opposing staircases. Researchers tracking both loss and estimated complexity during training observe opposing staircases. Each sudden drop in loss is accompanied by a jump in algorithmic complexity. This validates SLT's prediction that learning proceeds through discrete phase transitions from simple, high-loss solutions to complex, low-loss solutions rather than gradual refinement of a single algorithm. This explains why simple proxy goals are systematically more likely to emerge during training. Algorithms like always move right require very few effective parameters. Most network weights can vary freely without changing this basic behavior pattern. Complex algorithms like recognize objects, plan paths, navigate obstacles require many effective parameters working together in precise coordination. The free energy formula shows that simpler algorithms have systematically higher probability of being discovered during finite training. Watanabe, 2009, Algebraic Geometry and Statistical Learning Theory. Internal model selection describes how neural networks choose between competing solutions during training. Rather than gradually refining a single algorithm, networks undergo discrete transitions between completely different algorithmic approaches. Each transition represents abandoning one algorithmic solution in favor of another that provides a better accuracy-complexity trade-off given the current amount of training data. Path dependence emerges because the sequence of simple solutions constrains which complex solutions become accessible later. Two networks might both start with simple approximations and eventually transition to complex algorithms. But which complex algorithm becomes accessible depends entirely on the path taken through intermediate simple solutions. Small initialization differences can determine which sequence gets traversed, leading to completely different final algorithms. Goal misgeneralization becomes mathematically inevitable when viewed through SLT, rather than merely possible. The internal model selection mechanism shows that during finite training, algorithms with lower effective complexity will be systematically preferred over those with higher complexity, even when complex algorithms better capture intended goals. This transforms our understanding from goal misgeneralization sometimes happens to goal misgeneralization is the default unless actively prevented. Loss landscape singularities create systematic biases towards certain types of goals based on their algorithmic simplicity. The geometric structures where multiple parameter configurations implement identical algorithms determine which goals are easy versus hard to discover. Goals implementable with fewer effective parameters occupy larger regions of parameter space, making them more likely to be found. This provides mathematical foundations for our counting arguments. The counting reflects real geometric volumes. Goal crystallization refers to the phase transitions where networks abandon simple goal approximations for more complex ones. During training, systems don't gradually refine their goals. They undergo sudden transitions where one goal structure gets replaced by another. Early transitions typically involve simple approximations, like move right instead of collect coins. Later transitions may lead to more complex goals, but which complex goals become accessible depends on the path through earlier simple approximations. The complexity of human values creates systematic vulnerabilities. Implementing genuine alignment requires learning context-dependent rules, handling edge cases, and making subtle moral distinctions, all requiring high algorithmic complexity. Simple heuristics producing aligned-looking behavior while missing deeper intent will systematically have lower complexity, making them more probable during finite training regimes. Phase transitions provide early warning signals for goal misgeneralization. The local learning coefficient can be estimated during training to track complexity changes. Sudden jumps often coincide with goal crystallization, moments where networks abandon one goal structure for another. Monitoring these transitions could provide advance warning when systems shift toward potentially misaligned goals. Hoogland et al. 2024, Loss Landscape Degeneracy and Stagewise Development. Developmental interpretability emerges naturally as a method for understanding goal formation. Rather than reverse engineering completed models, we can study the sequence of phase transitions through which goals crystallize. Each transition reveals why particular goals were selected over alternatives, providing insights crucial for detection and mitigation. We will talk about this more in our chapter on interpretability. SLT focuses on parameter space geometry while abstracting away how parameters map to behaviors. Understanding goal misgeneralization requires connecting geometric complexity to actual algorithmic behavior, but SLT provides only partial tools for this connection. Two models with identical geometric properties could learn different goals depending on their parameter function mappings. Scalzer, 2023, My Criticism of Singular Learning Theory.